for the Peter B. Collins Show, which is coming up next after the CBS News. And we'll be back tomorrow.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Karen Riegel. Iran's president spoke and answered questions at Columbia University in New York this afternoon, but Mahmoud Ahmadinejad wasn't exactly greeted with open arms.
His welcome by Columbia University President Lee Bollinger was not a warm one.
Mr. President, you exhibit all the signs of a petty and cruel dictator.
Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, through a translator, picking up the challenge.
Many parts of his speech, there were many insults and claims that were incorrect.
The president also challenging the perception that he wants, as he has said, to wipe Israel off the map. He says Iran loves Israel. Asked about same-sex love in Iran and the execution of teenage gays there, Ahmadinejad says homosexuality does not exist in his country. Jim Taylor, CBS News.
I'm Mark Knoller in New York, where White House National Security Advisor Steve Hadley isn't much impressed with what Ahmadinejad says. He makes clear the U.S. is looking for concrete steps, such as an end to Iranian weaponry being supplied to insurgents in Iraq. And on the flight here aboard Air Force One, Hadley said it would be helpful if Iran got out of the business of supporting terrorism.
In Detroit,
and
at General Motors plants across the country, more than 73,000 workers are off their job. The contract expired 11 days ago, and this morning, the United Auto Workers Union said, walk.
UAW President Ron Gettelfinger says they were willing to help GM out, but negotiations were becoming a one-way street. He says GM wasn't budging on some important job security issues.
This is nothing that we wanted. Nobody wins in a strike. But there comes a point in time where somebody can push you off a cliff, and that's exactly what happened here.
GM says it's disappointed, but the issues are complex. Both sides say they want to continue talking. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
Rates of violent crime across the nation are going up.
The FBI reports a 1.9% spike in violent crime for 2006, a slightly higher number than the FBI estimated earlier in the year. The numbers bolster the belief in law enforcement that the rising crime rates are not a blip, but the beginnings of a worrisome trend, especially in big cities where the murder rate shot up 1.8%.
That's CBS News reporter Stephanie Lynn Badonkis at the Justice Department. In Arizona, former heavyweight champion of the world Mike Tyson pleaded guilty to charges of driving under the influence and drug possession. His lawyer, David Chesnoff, says his client has needed help for a long time.
If there have been more people interested in his personal well-being and health along the way, we wouldn't be standing here right now.
Mike Tyson could face up to 4 years in jail. On Wall Street, the Dow closed down 61 points. It ended at 13,759. The NASDAQ was down two, about 3 points, ending at 2667. This is CBS News.
So, I'm driving downtown in my Buick, and I pass by this girl. She's got on those really big sunglasses all the celebs wear. So I'm thinking, someday, she's gonna regret looking like a bug. Real style is never just a flavor of the month. It's gotta last. Like my Buick. It looks and drives beautifully. And years from now, you can bet it won't be out of style. Especially because I take such good care of it. By taking it to the professionals at my Buick dealer. Down the Good Wrench service lane.
Can't stop thinking about it.
The other day, I asked for an oil change, four tire rotation, and Good Wrench multi-point vehicle inspection, performed by a GM-trained expert. So it's Good Wrench and Go to help keep my Buick running as great as it looks. And that's a picture I won't regret.
I can't stop thinking about it.
Fall is a great time to Good Wrench and Go for all your maintenance needs. See your local Buick Good Wrench dealer today or log on to GoodWrench.com.
Looks like more Americans are being more careful on the road these days.
The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration seems pleased after paying observers to mark down how many drivers are and are not buckling up. Seatbelt use up just over 1%, over 82% protected by seatbelts. As for people on motorcycles, even sharper improvement. Helmet use up from 51% last year to 58%. Big regional differences, though. Western states, guys and gals on choppers, 77% wear helmets. In the Midwest, only 49%. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
Sometimes, ladies, you just can't find a man who knows how to dance. So why not ask Fido? That's what they're doing in East Troy, Wisconsin. 23 owners and dogs paid $275 apiece to take part in a three-day dog dancing class. Twist, passes, the cha-cha, all the big dances were on the list. I'm Karen Riegel, CBS News.
Pump four is on. Go ahead and fill.
Don't get conservative on your summer travel plans because of high gas prices. Just get a Garmin and make every trip more efficient. Garmin's portable navigators put a world of maps and travel info at your fingertips. Tap the screen to look up restaurants, hotels, and attractions, and get voice-prompted directions.
Turn right on Broadway.
Some Garmin navigators even list gas prices and can route you to the station with the cheapest fill-up. Garmin, don't just get there. Arrive.
You know, good things just make me happy. So when I can find those good things on sale, that makes me really happy. Right now at my neighborhood Sherwin-Williams paint store, I can save 25% on a wide selection of exceptional paints and stains. The thing I love about Sherwin-Williams is they've got everything. Incredible colors, coordinating palettes and design inspiration, plus everything I need for any decorating project from start to finish. For a store near you, visit Sherwin-Williams.com. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
B. Collins!
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to a fresh edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. We originate in San Francisco, and we've got only 3 hours to talk about breaking news, developing stories, and some political analysis on some of the key issues of the day. I'm glad you found us. Hope you can stay with us. We are live again in Sacramento today as Christine Kraft continues on vacation on 1240 Talk City, KSAC. Up first, we're going to talk about free speech rights, including those of Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. We'll be happy to know Columbia University is still standing. Also on today's program, Professor Dan Cannon from the University of California at Berkeley talks about Bush's unilateral approach to global warming. Yeah, there's a whole conference underway with heads of state from around the world as the UN convenes for its annual events in New York. And Bush is going to attend the dinner. But that's all. We'll talk about the media's treatment of the MoveOn.org ad and some very interesting issues that have surfaced just over the weekend. Eric Bollert from Media Matters will join us later on in the program today. And we'll play the actual clip for you. It was Rush Limbaugh who first used the phrase betrayus. He applied it to a Republican senator, Senator Betrayus. He said it on his show. Unbelievable. And we have extended an invitation to a student from Columbia University, and we're booking this through a pro-Israel organization who is opposed to the appearance of Mr. Ahmadinejad at Columbia today. So that's all ahead. Your calls and comments are welcome, too. The toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And you can email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com, during or after the show. As we mentioned, a lot of hot air, particularly coming from the right in this country, including the President of the United States, huffing and puffing about Ahmadinejad's appearance in New York. He came for the United Nations conference and was invited to speak at Columbia University. And those who talk the loudest about freedom in this country, including Freedom's Watch, the new swift boat Enterprise. They wanted to silence this man and ban him from appearing there. I think that's misguided, and maybe you do too.
Bomb, 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 bomberan. Bomb, 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 bomberan.
One of John McCain's favorite songs, you know.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful. And so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we.
Joining us to talk about the frenzy of anti-Iranian rhetoric spewing around our nation is David Barsamian. He does radio at alternativeradio.org. He's co-authored a book with Noam Chomsky called Targeting Iran. Actually, it's a series of interviews, as I understand it. And Ervind Abrahamian is also featured in that book. He's been on our program before. David, welcome back to the show today. How are you?
Thanks, Peter B. Always wonderful to be on your program.
Well, it's nice to talk with you. And, you know, I have no real strong words of support or defense for Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. But I defend his right to come to this country, to the United Nations, and to accept offers to speak in public. And I am stunned by the way the right in this country, in the name of freedom, has tried to silence him and prevent this from occurring. And here's a full-page ad, and full-page ads in the New York Times are really controversial now because of the Move On ad. But Freedom's Watch, this is the Ari Fleischer-fronted group. We don't know exactly who's funding it, but they spent $15 million on a media campaign to soften up the country on the Petraeus in advance of the Petraeus report. And here's this full-page ad. Ahmadinejad is a terrorist. Columbia University is wrong to give him a platform. And then at the bottom it says, stand up for freedom and those who defend it. I mean, they seem to be unaware of their own contradictions and hypocrisy.
It's the kind of ad that Joseph Goebbels, who was the Nazi propaganda minister, would have relished publishing in some German newspaper in the 1930s. I think the issue of freedom of speech, for me, is definitely informed by and inspired by Voltaire's comment that I may disagree with you, you know, fervently on your issues, but I will defend to the death your right to speak. So I think we need to hear what our so-called adversaries have to say. In fact, that's what a dialogue, that's what a democracy is all about. The test is to listen to people that are presenting news, information, perspectives that challenge the conventional media and corporate spin that's coming out of the White House and the Pentagon.
Well, and again, so many people huffed and puffed about this in advance and wanted to prevent him from speaking. But when he does not particularly advance his cause with the average American. For example, he denied today that there are any homosexuals in Iran. And the issue has been raised that the Iranian government, called a regime by our government, does harass and, in some cases, jail and torture those who happen to have a sexual preference other than heterosexual. And so when he denies that, he undermines his own credibility. And I think that people should hear that and really make up their own minds about who this guy is and to what extent we should engage with him.
I agree with you entirely, and it's not only on that particular issue. I mean, I was in Iran recently doing research for my book, Targeting Iran, and, I can report that there are major human rights violations going on. There's repression not just of homosexuals but of women, political dissidents, lawyer, activists, journalists, students, etc. It's not a pretty picture, but it's not the place of Washington to then use the internal problems of Iran to justify a military strike. And what they're doing in a carefully orchestrated campaign with a lot of media support, you know, from the Washington Times to the Washington Post to, you know, other such institutions of so-called journalism, they have been looking for a causes belli to blame the, you know, disaster in Iraq on Iran.
Well, and if they found Ahmadinejad with a squirt gun in New York, you can imagine that they would say, "See, he's arming the Iraqi opposition,
and we
need to attack immediately."
Has intervened so catastrophically into the internal affairs of Iraq. It's now it's going to be on 5 years in March of 2008, and surely the Americans will still be getting killed next year, March, and beyond that. That's what this White House is planning on. But here's Iran, a neighboring country. Nevertheless, the United States, the Bush administration, is able to say without any sense of irony that these are foreigners meddling in the internal affairs of Iraq. What exactly are the 170,000 American troops and 100,000 mercenary contractors doing in Iraq?
Well, it's actually 182,000 contractors, not all of whom are mercenaries, but there are more contractors than soldiers in Iraq, even with the so-called surge. David Barsamian, one of the other issues here is highlighted by today's New York Times with what's called a memo from Tehran written by Michael Slackman. And he quotes a number of Iranians who say that by demonizing Ahmadinejad and giving him all this attention, we are actually building up his prestige and creating a Castro-like situation where he can play to the Iranian people our opposition to him, our saber-rattling, our threats. And it causes them, even though he's not that popular on domestic issues, it causes them to close ranks and rally around him.
That echoes my own investigations and research as well, both with the Iranians in Iran and Iranians here in the United States. There's a large Iranian community here. They've almost told me to a person that this demonization of Iran and, you know, calling Ahmadinejad the next Hitler, and Iran is being compared to Nazi Germany. Glenn Beck on CNN constantly uses that analogy. This only helps to strengthen the government of Ahmadinejad, because Iranians rally around the flag when they see their country being besmirched and smeared in such outrageous ways. It's not surprising. Shireen Ebadi, one of the women that I interview in the book, and she's quoted extensively, she won the Nobel Prize in 2003. She's a lawyer, a judge, a human rights activist. She told me the worst thing the United States could do is to bomb Iran. It will just help solidify the regime, and it will destroy the democracy movement, which does exist there.
Very important point. David Barsamian is with us. He's going to stay for another segment. If you have a question or comment, give us a call. I want to hear your thoughts, too, about free speech and Columbia University and all these conservatives who have been trying to limit, if not completely block, the free speech of this president of Iran who's visiting our country this week. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number, 888-573-8372. Here at the Peter B. Collins Show.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year, and the fact that we can offer estate quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special.
Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
One specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Sober Stones, do you have yours yet? Big Sur Jade is now available for you. This rare, beautiful, deep green jade is found in a tiny cove south of Big Sur, used by Native Americans in healing for hundreds of years. Keep one in your pocket to remind you of your commitment to living life present and sober. Go to SoberStones.com, SoberStones.com for your beautiful pocket jade. Touch it, feel it every day. Look at it. SoberStones.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, 23 minutes after the hour. My guest is David Barsamian. Among other things, he is involved with alternative radio on the web at alternativeradio.org. And David, we need a little more of that, maybe a whole lot more of alternative radio, trying to balance the conservative and corporate media in this country. Give our listeners a quick sketch of what you do at alternative radio.
It's a weekly one-hour program. It's broadcast on close to 200 radio stations throughout the U.S., Canada, Australia, South Africa, England, Jamaica, and other countries. And it features such voices as Noam Chomsky, Howard Zinn, Angela Davis, Tariq Ali, Arundhati Roy, Vandana Shiva, people that ordinarily get short shrift or no shrift whatsoever in the corporate media. And the program is celebrating 21 years on the air in the Bay Area. It's broadcast on KALW 91.7 FM every Thursday from noon to 1. So you can get all this info on my site, alternativeradio.org, and that's where you can find out about the new Targeting Iran book.
And David, I got this email on Friday. Reese Ehrlich was on our program. He has a new book out.
Yes, I know Reese.
About Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he went to Iran with my friend Norman Solomon and their mutual friend, the movie star Sean Penn.
Yes.
And I got this release. You know who Maria Sliwa is, right? She was a guardian angel. She was married to Curtis. They used to do a radio show together in New York.
Yes.
And she now has a public relations firm that appears to only support right-wingers. And she is promoting a book called Schmoozing with Terrorists, From Hollywood to the Holy Land, Jihadists Reveal Their Global Plans to a Jew. And it's written by a man named Klein here. And in a shocking new book, author and Jerusalem bureau chief for WorldNet Daily, Aaron Klein, petitions Muslim terrorists to respond to the statements and actions of American public figures such as anti-war activist Cindy Sheehan, Senator Hillary Clinton, Barbara Boxer, John Murtha, Speaker Pelosi, and personalities like Rosie O'Donnell, Sean Penn, and Jane Fonda. And Klein had a speech made earlier this year by Sean Penn, translated into Arabic, and then he gets people in that part of the world to essentially say that those of us who criticize our government are somehow disloyal, betraying sympathizers of the enemy.
I couldn't agree with that at all. I think dissent is the highest form of patriotism. And what some of the right-wingers in this country have done, some, not all, they've hijacked the flag. They equate dissent with something called anti-Americanism, which is deeply offensive to me. I don't know how you feel about it, but as an American citizen, I am not anti-American. I want our country to be the best that it can be, that it can live up to its ideals, and promote peace and justice and democracy in the world, not be a militaristic, aggressive power, going after oil in Iraq and going after oil in Iran. How did you like Alan Greenspan's comment last week?
Right.
He let the cat out of the bag, and now he's spent the last week trying to, backpedal and explain that he didn't really mean it was about oil in Iraq. Okay, maybe it's about watermelons or cantaloupes. Maybe it's about pomegranates or, Asian pears.
Well, David, to your point about patriotism, and I may sound like one of those self-satisfied, smug liberals from California, but I believe that those of us who speak up at a difficult time like this are actually more patriotic than those who simply accept the fascist line and repeat it.
Well, I love to quote our great writer and hero, Mark Twain, who made the distinction between the government and the country. He says he loves the country all of the time, the mountains, the valleys, Chuck Berry and Tina Turner and Allen Ginsberg and City Lights Bookstore in North Beach and Trieste Coffee Shop in North Beach and all of that. Loves the country all the time. And then he said, and the government when it earns it.
Yep.
And I don't think this particular regime in Washington, and notice how they use the term regime in a pejorative way to refer to countries they don't like.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
When they talk about Damascus or Tehran or Pyongyang, those are regimes. But when they refer to themselves, it's either the administration or it's, the government. So regime has a sense of, it really conveys illegitimacy. Now, you may not like Ahmadinejad. He's certainly not Nelson Mandela or, Martin Luther King or Mahatma Gandhi. We know that. No one's saying he is. But he was elected in Iran in June of 2005. He got a very small percentage of the vote, incidentally, because most Iranians are so fed up with the political system and the narrow choices. Does that sound familiar at all? That they have at the polls that they didn't even bother voting.
Yeah. We're talking with David Barsamian. He's going to stay with us for another segment. I want to talk about Ahmadinejad's remarks on 60 Minutes last night. And I want to open up the phone lines for the rest of the hour. Let me hear your thoughts. A, about whether he should have been permitted to speak at Columbia. And B, about the Bush administration's posture toward the regime in Tehran, as David just parsed the terminology. 888-5, Peter B. is our toll-free number. You dial 1-888-573-8372. My guest, David Barsamian from AlternativeRadio.org and co-author with Noam Chomsky of the book Targeting Iran.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by Smart Balance Omega Peanut Butter and by Tourism Ireland. Discover your very own Ireland at discoverireland.com. I'm Charles Osgood. The project to make a $100 laptop computer so that kids in the developing world could have one turned out to be a little unrealistic. The manufacturer of Exo computers is about to start production, and the price turns out to be $188. Still mighty cheap for a computer, but still too expensive for a lot of the world's children it's intended for. So the charity behind the effort is making a deal for Americans and Canadians. Two of these laptops for $399, part of which is tax deductible. You get one, and the other to be put into a pool to be given away to kids. Get one, give one. With our CBS News technology consultant, Larry Magid.
Even though this little laptop is designed to sell in developing countries for $188, it actually might be worth $400 here in the United States. It's a kind of a cool little device. It uses very little energy, has a nice bright screen, very pretty plastic around it, and it comes with all the software you need to surf the net and do some other basic tasks.
More on the XO after this. You know, Smart Balance Omega Peanut Butter is one of a kind. It's natural peanut butter that doesn't need refrigeration to prevent significant separation. It contains no refined sugar and no hydrogenated oil. And remember, Smart Balance Omega Peanut Butter is deep-roasted for a sensational peanut taste, and it contains 1,000 milligrams of omega-3s per serving. Now, Smart Balance means more than delicious buttery taste. It also means delicious peanutty taste. Smart Balance Omega Peanut Butter. I want to tell you about a place in Europe just waiting for you to discover, where breathtaking natural wonders leave even a seasoned traveler speechless. Ancient castles where you can live like a king. Bustling cities where culture, fine dining, and vibrant nightlife meet. I'm talking about Ireland. You see, in Ireland, not a day goes by without something new being discovered. Discover your very own Ireland at discoverireland.com or call 1-800-SHAMROCK for your free Ireland vacation planner. Apple, IBM, and Microsoft have nothing to do with the Exo computer and the One Laptop per Child project. It's the brainchild of Nicholas Negroponte, founding chairman of the Media Lab at MIT, and it's made by Quanta Computers. Negroponte had been hoping for 3 million orders before production began, but this Get One, Give One project for 2 weeks in November is an effort to get the ball rolling.
It's a very cool, lightweight device with long battery life. It gets you on the Internet, and it comes with a number of applications. At $400, it's not such a bad deal, especially when you consider that everybody who sees you with it will know that you're helping to buy computers for children in the developing world.
If you want to give one or more, you can donate right now at the website, which is exogiving.com. If you want to get one or more, you have to wait till November 12th and do it by November 29th. Again, Larry Magid.
I suspect this is going to become a status symbol for the technological elite.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 33 minutes after the hour. Our guest is David Barsamian. He is a proprietor of AlternativeRadio.org, a program heard on more than 200 stations around the country. And his latest book is called Targeting Iran, which includes commentary from Noam Chomsky, Ervand Abrahamian, and others. And, David, did you get a chance to watch the 60 Minutes interview with Mr. Ahmadinejad?
No, I didn't, but I'm reading the text as we speak. And I noticed that Scott Pelfrey framed the interview in what can only be described as a very pejorative way, you know, showing footage of Saddam Hussein, showing a Humvee being blown up, presumably in Iraq, and somehow trying to make a connection with Ahmadinejad. Now, I'd like to see Scott Pelfrey and, you know, Mike Wallace did a similar interview with Ahmadinejad last year on 60 Minutes. I'd like to see them talk to Cheney and Bush and Rice, you know, with that same kind of fervor and incisive and quite vitriolic, you know, language.
Yeah, very good. Very
rightness faced. Okay, that's fine. But when it comes to, you know, people in Washington, it's all kids gloves. How are you? Wonderful to see you again. Great to have you on the program. You know, oh, it's so good of you to invite me. How are you, Mr. Vice President? Oh, I'm doing okay. Come on, man. This is not journalism. This is stenography. These guys have given this regime in Washington basically a free pass, a permanent get-out-of-jail pass, in the face of some of the most monstrous lies and, you know, grotesque propaganda offensives in the history of the United States.
Yeah, and since the Move On ad and the flap that it created, at least 40 or 50 American soldiers have been killed in Iraq. But we prefer to debate the legitimacy of an advertisement and its commentary.
Well, for Bush and Cheney, the American soldiers in Iraq, like the Iraqis themselves, are simply props. They're extras on this set that they have designed. It's a movie set where they're going to bring democracy to the Middle East, you know, masking their true intention to capture the oil and natural gas of those countries, and they don't really care. And as you know, as Americans die, Iraqis die in great numbers. There's no accounting for the number of Iraqi deaths. And when I was in Iran, I have to tell you, there was a really bad joke going around. Iranians were telling me they know the American exit strategy out of Iraq, and I said, "Well, tell me, what is it? What do you know?" He said, "They're going to come through Iran."
Well, unfortunately, there's a
building toward that. You know,
yeah, there's a lot of information.
There's a battle group stationed right off the coast of Iran. The country's completely surrounded by the American military. Mm-hmm. Yet you would have the Bush administration or the Bush regime would have the American people believe that Iran is a threat to its national security. I mean, this is the world of Orwell upside down. I mean, Orwell must be doing double flips in his grave.
Well, David, in watching Scott Pelley interview the president of Iran, it was interesting because Ahmadinejad is squirrely. He doesn't usually answer the question directly.
He sounds like an American politician, you mean.
But what I thought was fascinating was some of his ad-libs and his kind of ad hominem attacks. At the end of it, he said, you're like a CIA guy. I feel like I'm at Abu Ghraib. And then he ticked off Abu Ghraib, Guantanamo Bay, the secret prisons in Europe. So he had a whole litany of U.S. offenses. Also, when he was asked if he thought there was anything he might like about President Bush, he squirmed and was pretty silent. And then Pelley kind of prompted him and said, well, you're a religious man and he's a religious man. And he said, well, as a religious man, I wouldn't countenance the occupation of another country for 5 years with the ensuing bloodshed. So I have to say that his rehearsed comments were you know, effective from his point of view. And I also think, David, that we need to understand his mindset, even if we don't agree with it. There are too many Americans who just want to turn him off and accept the Bush administration's assertions that he is an evildoer who's got to be dealt with in the same manner as Saddam. And we need to listen to this guy. He articulates a very intelligent worldview that basically says that those who took control of the planet after World War II are now passé. And when you look at the demographics of his country and other Middle East nations, he's right. The fossils, the dinosaurs who are clinging to power from post-World War II are on the decline. And this is something that we have to come to terms with. It's unpleasant. We don't like to hear it from a guy like him. But I think people need to sit up and listen.
Well, those fossils, such as the Hashemite monarchy in Jordan and the Saud dynasty in Saudi Arabia and the tyrannical autocratic regime of Hosni Mubarak in Egypt, are all, you know, they're on the ropes. they're on their way out. They're on the last page of history, as far as most analysts can tell, particularly in the Middle East. The age of monarchy, kings, and dynasties is clearly on the wane. And Mubarak is, you know, rigging elections. He was in his most recent election. There was widespread gerrymandering. The opposition candidate was jailed. The party, the opposition party, was banned from campaigning. If he finishes out his term, Hosni Mubarak will be the longest-running ruler of Egypt since Ramses II.
Hmm. Very interesting. Let's take some phone calls. Harvey, thanks for holding. And Eureka, you're on the line here on the Peter B. Collins Show with David Barsamian.
Oh, well, thanks for... Oh, no, I don't want to say that. Anyway, I'm glad to hear David Barsamian. I've gotten some of your tapes in the past, so I enjoy your program. But when I heard about this, the first thing that came to my mind was President Carter said, "We support the Shah." And, you know, this, I can't say it, I'm a Bunajad, I guess. He doesn't live up to the Shah because, for one thing, he was elected, and that's a no-no for this administration.
Yeah, listen, Harvey, I wouldn't make too much of Iranian elections. They're not the exact paradigm of what you'd want to have. But I concede the point. There was at least the trappings of an election.
Yes, the Shah didn't have to bother with that. And the other thing is that the Shah gave us the oil to British Petroleum, you know, without much of a squabble. And of course, the present president of Iran wouldn't do that. So there's another negative for him. So, and it seems like most people are satisfied that's the way to go and to cast off this Ahmadinejad. He seems to be a very intelligent man, a very educated man, and I wish we could get the transcript of what he said.
And I think we ought to try to get him some new leisure suits, too.
He is a university graduate. He taught engineering in Tehran. He's the former mayor of that city. He's the son of a blacksmith, incidentally, so he comes from, working-class background. That's often used against him by his political opponents in Iran, incidentally. By the way, I was in Eureka Arcata just a few days ago speaking at the wonderful independent bookstore, Northtown Books. But
great.
The other point you made about Iran and Ahmadinejad are very well taken. The Shah was installed by the CIA in a coup in 1953. This is discussed in great detail by Noam Chomsky in my book, Targeting Iran. This was a major event in the history of U.S.-Iranian relations in the 20th century. You know, if you ask any American what they know about Iran, if they know anything over a certain age group, the first thing they'll say is the hostage crisis. Well, for Iranians, the first thing they'll say was the destruction of their democracy by the CIA, directed by Dwight David Eisenhower, the president at the time, the CIA director Alan Dulles, and Secretary of State John Foster Dulles. They crushed Iranian democracy, ousted the popular democratic leader Mohammad Mossadegh, and brought the tyrannical Shah back into power, where he ruled. And not only, Harvey, did he supply the United States and other oil companies with oil at a very reasonable price and a steady flow, but he bought billions and billions of dollars of U.S. weaponry. So his fall in 1979 was a double blow to the American corporate state.
Oh, yeah, the munitions industry. I didn't know that they had been affected. That's interesting to know.
He bought perhaps $10 billion. This is in 1960 and 1970 dollars. So now, you know, just extrapolate that amount today, and it will be, you know, maybe $50 or $60 billion.
Thanks for your call, Harvey. And also, Reese Ehrlich pointed out to us the other day that the U.S. supported Iran's efforts to develop nuclear power plants all through the 1970s as we lined up contracts with General Electric and Westinghouse. And as long as the Shah was in power, we thought that was a pretty good idea.
Let's go to an excellent point, Peter. If I could just expand on it for just a minute.
All right, and then we'll go to Kathy. Kathy, hold on there. We'll get right back to you.
You see, in 1974-75, when Kissinger was Secretary of State and Ford was the President, 76, they said the rationale was, you know what? Oil and natural gas are finite resources. Sooner or later, they're going to finish. So Iran, quite logically, should be thinking about the future of its population and developing alternative sources of energy. That was the rationale that was given to enable the U.S. to send reactors to Tehran under the Shah. Now, today, in 2007, when Ahmadinejad says the exact same thing, the neocons have flipped that and said, hey, look, Iran has all this oil and natural gas. Why are they processing, why are they enriching uranium? You see, we live in the United States of amnesia. We don't have a media that tells us these things or reminds us of history. And so no one knows anything, and there's no factual basis for any kind of discussion. And by the way, people say, you know, let's talk about the Holocaust, and he wants to wipe Israel off the map, you know, and these other cliches and platitudes.
Right. And as Reese pointed out, the phrase that he often uses is mistranslated into English. It is a wish that the state of Israel go away, but it's not a call for death and destruction. Kathy?
Exactly that. I know enough Farsi, incidentally, to have read the original. He only said it once.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, it seems that the media has picked this up, and the way they present it is that every other speech that he gives, he calls for death to Israel.
Right.
Well, the exact term, the exact words, he's quoting the Ayatollah Khomeini from 1970, from a statement that Khomeini said he hoped that Israel would disappear one day. There is no term wipe out or from the map in the original Farsi.
All right, Kathy, driving around Sacramento. Welcome. You're on the air with David Barsamian.
Hi, Peter. I just wanted to tell you that I really am glad that the Iranian president got to go to Columbia University. The only thing is I did read a little bit about it. It sounds like it was like a setup. Did you read how he was humiliated at the beginning by the president?
I have read an account. I have not yet seen any of the video from it, but yes,
yeah,
it
yeah,
says
but,
that the President Lee Bollinger defended the university's right to have him speak, but moments later accused the Iranian leader of behaving like a petty and cruel dictator.
Yeah, I mean, but yes, I do think, it's great that he got to go there. I don't know that he does at this point after he did visit the university, but I don't know. The American people, most of them and a lot of them, are so ignorant to what's going on. They don't want to know the truth or even learn the truth, and they believe everything they see on TV, on CNN, Fox, or whatever. I have a friend in Germany, in Hamburg. He asked me, he said, the American people believe everything that they see in their country, He said, why is everything different that we see over here in Europe? And I go, well, because they don't want us to know. And most people don't want to, believe that we have liars in Washington, D.C.,
Yeah, gotcha. Kathy, thank you very much. Appreciate your call today. Let's go to Matt in Sacramento. You're on the air. Matt, go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to ask a practical question. What air defenses does Iran have, as far as you know? Because I've heard they have Su-22s and Su-37s, and all we've got are carriers, which are vulnerable to missile attacks.
Well, from my knowledge, they have somewhat of a navy, not much of an air force. David?
Indeed. Most of the Iranian air force is of 1970 vintage, in fact. The F-5s, as well as French Mirage jets. They have been unable to get spare parts for these aircraft.
But they don't have the SUs?
They have some land, you're right, surface-to-surface missiles.
No, SU-37s are jets.
I'm not sure about whether they have Soviet jets or not. The fact of the matter is,
well, I've heard they do, and these jets were designed by the Soviets, particularly as anti-aircraft jets. Anti-aircraft
Soviets,
carrier jets.
They're 17 years old if they're designed by the Soviets, because the Soviets have not produced a jet since late 1980s.
Well, that's just what I'd heard, and that's why I was asking you.
Right.
No,
thank you. I'm sorry. I'm late for a break here. David,
you should know that Iran's military budget is $5 billion a year. The United States military budget is about $750 billion a year. Iran is completely surrounded by U.S. military power. The United States could simply obliterate Iran virtually in an instant. So the idea that Iran is a military threat to the United States is, in my view, far-fetched. It's part of this warmongering, scaremongering, mm-hmm. and scapegoating for the disaster in Iraq. And Bush is looking to, you know, blame Iraq on Iran. And they're going to come up with some, you know, bomb or some confession mm-hmm. from some Iranian agent or Iranian saying, you know, that Tehran is telling me what to do. And they'll use that to as an excuse to bomb Iran. I can see that coming. I hope I'm wrong.
David Barsamian, thank you for your powerful comments today. We'll talk again.
Thanks, Peter.
AlternativeRadio.org for full information. We'll return after a break here. I'd like to hear your comments. Lines are open at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372.
Let me welcome you to Planet Cruise. Where corporations are outraged, the city council's outrageous.
It's the first of the two-hour Planet Cruise Comedy Hour with me, Richard Stockton.
I was a feral child raised by Republicans.
Along with comedian Johnny Steele talking Bush.
What was he thinking? I have a better exit plan when I go to IKEA, for heaven's sake.
Friday, October 5th, at the Columba Jazz Center in Santa Cruz, it's a spirit-mending, regime-changing night of comedy with the music of the great Morgani, Ukulele Dick, sketch comedy with the Outpatient Players, Johnny Steele, and me, Richard Stockton.
We want to protect marriage.
Yes.
We make it illegal for everybody. We will want marriage if we outlawed. Oh, I know there'll be bumper stickers to say when in-laws are outlawed, only outlaws will have in-laws.
Join the recording of this Left Coast version of A Prairie Home Companion.
I came here to be enlightened. You know, they always said I was clueless. But I think I'm going to find one this year because I've already attained Tunis. Let me welcome you.
So get off your big yoga balls and come to the Columba Jazz Center in Santa Cruz Friday, October 5th for the two-hour Planet Cruise Comedy Hour. If you want to laugh your glutes off.
Tickets available at PG Liquors, Angelina's, and in Santa Cruz at Gateways Books and Streetlight Records.
Terry McCarter of Clarion Mortgage is a lifelong resident of Monterey County and a truly dedicated, caring real estate and mortgage professional. With many years of experience, Terry always goes the extra mile for her clients. During your initial consultation, Terry gets to know your preferences and needs and then helps you choose the loan program that most precisely meets them. Terry takes the time to explain all details of the various options open to you, including any potential risks, and guides you through the mortgage process. If you're too swamped at your desk to stop by during the work hours, make a weekend appointment with Terry or see her after hours. Terry McCarter is your real estate and mortgage professional. Her offices are conveniently located in Salinas at 1271 North Davis Road, just across from Applebee's. Call Terry at 578-0773, 831-578-0773.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm your humble host, Peter B. Lines available if you'd like to talk about this free speech issue, whether the president of Iran, Ahmadinejad, is how I pronounce it, should have been permitted to speak at Columbia University. He embarrassed himself a little bit by saying that there are no homosexuals in Iran, and thus the charges that they persecute them could not be true. And he did offer some, not quite bizarre, but some weird responses to Scott Pelley's questions on 60 Minutes last night. He said, what do we need, an atomic bomb for? He didn't say that they are not interested in developing one. He just parried the question by saying, why would we need that? He said it didn't help the Soviet Union, and not that I see a real strong rational connection there, but that's what he had to say. And so I think that when you permit somebody like this to speak freely, they will more often than not give you plenty of ammunition to decimate their credibility. But by attempting to silence him, we simply create a greater image for him than he enjoyed before, and it complicates the U.S. position. And here's this ad from Allies of the Bush Administration, the new Swift Vote group called Freedom's Watch, and they write in a full-page ad with a picture of Ahmadinejad that he is a terrorist. That's their headline. Columbia University is wrong to give him a platform. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad threatens our nation and the freedoms we value. He has supported attacks on our soldiers and our allies. He should be treated as the terrorist that he is. And they go on and say that Columbia University should be ashamed of its actions in inviting him there. And then at the bottom, in larger type, it reads, support Freedom's Watch. Stand up for freedom and those who defend it. Surrender is not an option. Victory is America's only choice. This rhetoric is so insulting and so empty because freedom is what we generally believe to be the concept that would support his right to speak freely at Columbia University. So we're supporting freedom by denouncing him. We're supporting freedom by trying to censor him. We're supporting freedom by supporting the New York police and saying that he can't go lay a wreath at the World Trade Center. Let him go. Ignore him. The media doesn't have to cover it. They don't have to send camera crews and put all that on television. But that's the way we operate, and so then it becomes this false choice of either we permit him to do these things or we don't. And I don't agree with that set of false choices, not in any way, shape, or form. And it's also interesting to see that after vilifying Syria, and we still don't know exactly what Israel did to Syria about 10 days ago, there was an air raid, and they claim that Syria had received some nuclear material or maybe a centrifuge. It's very murky. But despite that, Syria has been invited to participate in the U.S.-sponsored talks in November, intended to try to broker some new peace deal in the Middle East. Contradictory is how I would describe that. Dave and Eureka, you're on the air. Welcome to our program.
Hey, Peter. I think definitely he should be allowed to speak at the university, and I don't know to what degree he's knowledgeable, but certainly most of us know that Cheney and company have been planning to invade his country and occupy it, along with, you know, it goes way back to their PNAC plans. They intend to invade the Middle East and occupy it.
You're right.
And if he knows about that, maybe he can freely discuss it with some of the students and professors there at the university. And I think only good could come out of that.
Well, the speech and the Q&A have already occurred. It was this afternoon, Dave.
Oh.
And I have a report from the New York Times that's available online. And essentially, he did kind of the same thing he did on 60 Minutes, which is to dodge the critical questions and launch, these interesting attacks on the United States. And so, for one, he declared that there are no homosexuals in Iran, and that's why it's just completely false that they persecute homosexuals. I think most of us can see through a statement like that. And again, what is the harm in letting him speak and letting him give people that comment so that they can judge for themselves? It's much more, I think, helpful than trying to silence him and saying that it would be some sort of an act of terrorism to let him speak. Dave, thank you very much. I appreciate your call. Coming up next, Professor Dan Kamen from UC Berkeley, an expert on climate change, will join us and talk about Bush's unilateral approach to working on the climate change issue. That's ahead right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Mahmoud Ahmadinejad is blasted by his host at Columbia.
Mr. President, you exhibit all the signs of a petty and cruel dictator.
The UAW goes on strike at GM.
There comes a point in time where you've got to draw a line in the sand.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. It was an extraordinary scene. Columbia University President Lee Bollinger, criticized for inviting the president of Iran to campus, introduced his controversial guest with harshly critical language. He told Ahmadinejad he was simply ridiculous for denying the Holocaust and demanded answers about Iran's human rights record and its links to terrorists.
Why do you support well-documented terrorist organizations that continue to strike at peace and democracy in the Middle East, destroying lives and the civil society of the region?
When Ahmadinejad took the lectern, he said he wouldn't be affected by Bollinger's unfriendly treatment.
In many parts of his speech, there were many insults and claims that were incorrect, regretfully.
Ahmadinejad seemed to back away from his previous statements about the Holocaust, saying, granted, this happened. But in response to a question about reports Iran executes gays, he gave this answer.
In Iran, we don't have homosexuals like in your country. We don't have that in our country.
The laughter turned to boos as the audience realized he wasn't joking. Meanwhile, at the UN,
we're here today.
Thousands of people showed up for a noon rally in protest against Iran's president. Alan Moskin is a World War II veteran who liberated a death camp in Austria.
What we saw was so horrific, it defies description. When anybody says that the Holocaust was a myth, I take that personal.
Signs read, no to terror, no nuclear Iran, and Hitler lives. Ginny Cosola, CBS News, New York.
President Bush is also in New York but has no plans to meet with Ahmadinejad. He spent an hour this afternoon with Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas talking about a U.S.-mediated Mideast peace conference. Now this.
There's nothing small about today's small business. Big hours make up big work weeks. Every meeting is a big meeting. Every call is a big call. When the only printer for all the computers breaks down, it's a big problem. And now, thanks to Aflac, even small business insurance has gone big. Introducing Aflac for Small Business. Now, your small business can have the same great Aflac products and service the big guys get. For more information, call 1-800-99-AFLAC or visit aflacsb.com.
Aflac!
For Small Business, American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
Do you have a big presentation coming up? Need great-looking documents done right and on time? The Office Depot Design Print and Ship Depot will take care of it. Only at Office Depot will you find Xerox certified print specialists to make sure your job is done right, guaranteed. Stop by an Office Depot store or visit us online 24/7 to request professionally prepared documents. Xerox certified print specialists, only at Office Depot, where we guarantee your documents are done right.
Outside a General Motors plant in Flint, Michigan, honking horns as union workers left the plant and formed picket lines after their union called a strike. Richard Benavides works at the Saturn plant in Spring Hill, Tennessee.
The committee man walked by and go through the aisleways and said, hey, let's walk. They don't want to talk.
More from WWJ Radio's Jeff Gilbert.
UAW President Ron Gettelfinger says they were willing to help GM out, but negotiations were becoming a one-way street. He says GM wasn't budging on some important job security issues.
This is nothing that we wanted. Nobody wins in a strike. But there comes a point in time where somebody can push you off a cliff, and that's exactly what happened here.
GM says it's disappointed, but the issues are complex. Both sides say they want to continue talking. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
Negotiations did resume this afternoon. More than 120 suspects in the steroid trade have been rounded up in a worldwide sweep.
It's called Operation Raw Deal.
We seized 242 kilograms of raw powder. That's a huge amount of steroids.
The powder from China allegedly is used to create illegal drugs, which DEA's Rusty Payne says attract teenage athletes trying to bulk up.
This is the largest steroid enforcement action the United States has ever taken. And what we want is we want that 17-year-old athlete to think twice before he jumps on the internet and tries to buy steroids.
Dozens of labs were seized.
I think this is going to have a huge impact, and we're not done.
Authorities in nine countries are helping smash the steroid rings. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
We never got to know Jerry, but that's just as well. Tropical Storm Jerry, far out in the Atlantic, has weakened to a tropical depression, and it's expected to die as it moves northeast over cooler water. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
So, I'm driving downtown in my Buick, and I pass by this girl. She's got on those really big sunglasses all the celebs wear. So I'm thinking, someday, she's gonna regret looking like a bug. Real style is never just a flavor of the month. It's gotta last. Like my Buick. It looks and drives beautifully. And years from now, you can bet it won't be out of style. Especially because I take such good care of it. By taking it to the professionals at my Buick dealer. Down the Goodwrench service lane.
Can't stop thinking about it.
The other day, I asked for an oil change, four tire rotation, and Goodwrench multi-point vehicle inspection, performed by a GM-trained expert. So it's Goodwrench and go to help keep my Buick running as great as it looks. And that's a picture I won't regret.
I can't stop thinking about it.
Fall is a great time to Goodwrench and go for all your maintenance needs. See your local Buick Goodwrench dealer today or log on to Goodwrench.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
This program originates from San Francisco, and next week, shocking news, friends, it's actually going to be on the air in San Francisco. We'll have the details for you coming up. Also coming up later this hour, Eric Bowler checks in from Media Matters for America. And we're going to look at the media's treatment of the MoveOn ad. Oh, yeah, over 500 plays or references to that ad. And only a handful of references to the Americans who died in Iraq after the Petraeus report. And did you hear who the first was to use Betrayus as a little nasty name calling? How about Golden Boy Rush Limbaugh? Yeah, that's true. We'll get you the details coming up later this hour. But first, as part of the UN General Assembly convening and convocation in New York this week, it's not just a chance for the president of Iran to come and give a little talk at Columbia University. There's also a gathering of world leaders about the climate change, global warming issues, and President Bush is once again operating in a unilateral mode. He's planning to show up for the dinner. Isn't that nice? Professor Dan Kamen from the University of California at Berkeley joins us. He's a professor of energy and society and is involved with the Energy and Resources Group. Dan, welcome back to our program today.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
So tell me your thoughts about President Bush's whole approach to this issue in terms of working with other nations. He has this voluntary approach, and he's planning to have a meeting somewhere in the United States, but they haven't named the location, in November of this year, to put forward his own climate change plan and scheme.
Well, I wish I knew what his plan and scheme was. It's a little odd because other nations around the world are working pretty hard on some concrete ideas, and there's disagreements over what level of cuts and how quickly, and should we put a tax on carbon or should we set up a market, a so-called cap and trade. But there's a lot of interesting discussion going on about what to actually do, and I don't think anyone outside the White House, to be honest, knows what the president has planned. And what he said is that he wants to convene a summit, get world leaders talking, but at this point, the only statement is that whatever happens will be voluntary, which I think just about everyone else thinks doesn't make sense anymore, because we know that we basically have to reduce global emissions by about 80% over the next 40 to 50 years. And we're starting from a point where our emissions are growing by a few percent a year. So this is a huge shift. And just waiting for things to sort of come up through some voluntary scheme is a bad plan.
Now, Dan, the Bush administration has had great luck with the voluntary program with the coal-fired power plants in this country, letting them clean up their own emissions.
Oh, they
so
have that.
Why is it that you can't see this working on a larger scale?
Well, sarcasm noted. The real issue is that voluntary schemes are considered a good way to get people to test out different ideas. So if you want to think about a carbon tax, if you want to think about ways to get utilities to, you know, give people the option to reduce their emissions, it's a good test bed, but everyone else thinks we're way beyond that. And so it's really sort of, it's not just unfortunate, it's detrimental to the nations that are actually getting engaged to have this discussion at this point, only the level of voluntary actions. And even that, I don't think that there really is a White House plan as of yet. There's not an approach they're trying to take, which doesn't seem to most climate scientists as just a delaying tactic.
Yeah. Well, and it's hard to think otherwise, because this president has really dithered and responded to the Competitive Enterprise Institute and the other think tanks that are funded by the resource extractors, who, you know, they simply throw up clouds of dust and confusion and pretend as if this is the flip side, the other side of the controversy.
Well, that's right. But I think that I would characterize it a little more interestingly than that, because many of the resource extracting companies are now asking for some form of real control. They would rather there not be controls, I believe. But the leading group of U.S. companies has banded together to essentially ask for some type of certainty from the president, from the administration, on what we're going to do. And so we've got to the point where major companies are seeing a downside of inaction and are now waiting for some level of a plan, because the biggest U.S. companies, Duke Energy, GE, Alcoa, they are all at the point of seeing jobs going overseas now that we are not involved in this in any way, and so they can't honestly make long-term plans. So I think that even the business community is asking for action.
Well, and this is kind of remarkable. We're seeing something like that develop around healthcare reform, too, where some of the corporate employers who have been really shifting the cost to their workers over the last few years have decided that that's not going to work and that we need an overall comprehensive plan. And it's interesting to see corporate America come to the Bush administration in Washington and say, give us some regulatory guidance and guidelines. And Bush is still out there just saying, we can't do that. That's not a neocon thing.
Well, I guess that's right. I mean, I wish that one could do more than just to bash on the president for inaction. But we do seem to be in this tremendous holding pattern where some countries Sweden, for example, has committed to get off fossil fuels entirely in 25 years. Now, I don't think they can do it, but when you have some countries like that, and Iceland has said the same thing, Germany, a major industrial country with a very heavy industry base for the auto, for the auto industry, for example, are all talking about cuts in their emissions in the 50, 60, 70% level, as California has set. And so what's not happened at the federal level is sort of all the more shocking. And so I really wish there was a few openings in the armor. But so far, all of the interesting ways to do it, like starting a cap and trade system, which really means that everyone gets allocated quotas, and then you can trade or you can find ways to reduce, just depending on your perceived economic advantage.
Right.
Even things like that that seem pretty pro-business and pretty mild in how they're set up are receiving no federal interest, and yet there's a huge amount of business interest. I just came back from talking to a series of companies in Europe. They're making wind turbines and solar panels, and they have 4- and 5-year backlogs, not month, but year backlogs in the orders for their technologies, and yet we have very few U.S. companies that are getting into the game because they're just not sure if the government's going to turn around and say, well, finally we're serious, or, you know, we're just going to keep this up for a while. And that's really hurting U.S. businesses.
Professor Dan Kamen from UC Berkeley is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. He's with us for another segment, so if you have a question or a comment, you can call me right now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Now, Dan, in addition to the president's posture and the way the world community sees the U.S. Not cooperating and moving in a more unilateral direction, there are real political problems in Washington. Today's San Francisco Chronicle has a front-page story about the challenges the Democrats have, even though they are narrowly in the majority on Capitol Hill, in crafting a meaningful emissions reduction program. And in particular, they cite John Dingell, the congressman from Detroit, who is there fighting fiercely for the auto industry. And it appears that any legislation that comes out of Washington is going to have to pass muster with Detroit automakers, and that seems to be almost a kiss of death.
That is. And in normal times, in the years past, that's been the real hurdle. If you can't get through Dingell and the Detroit lobby, you're sunk. I'm not sure I buy that this time. I think that Zach Coyle, who wrote the article, is a very astute observer of Washington. There's no question that one's going to have to give something in and negotiate with Dingell and the auto lobby. But I'm less convinced that that's the major issue now. For example, if there was a strong greenhouse gas bill that said we're going to invest in biofuel vehicles and we're also going to plug-in hybrid cars. Well, those are new jobs and opportunities for Detroit. And I know several members of Congress who are working very hard to get it so that there could be sort of big carrots offered to Detroit, including major contracts for plug-in hybrid vehicles. So there's no question that is an issue, but I actually think...
Oop, Dan, we're losing you there.
Developed and introduced right.
We're getting fragments. Dan, we're going to take a break here. Your cell phone is breaking up a little bit, and when we come back, we hope we have a better connection. We might redial you in the interim. If you have a question or a comment about climate change, about the Bush administration's go-it-alone approach, voluntary reduction, give us a call, toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. Toll-free, 888-573-8372. We'll continue in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year and the fact that we can offer estate-quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos.
One of the biggest benefits for us are the relationships that we establish with our customers. Our customers have said that they love coming to our place because we have great stuff and great prices.
The thing that makes us unique is the mix of things. It's a very eclectic mix. We've become a destination for a lot of people. They'll bring friends out. They'll do little mini tour buses and bring friends. So we really, really appreciate that. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. We have everything from French soaps to linens to wall hangings.
And it's gotten to the point where people think of us when they need a gift. It's not just a utilitarian purchase or frivolous, but they make us a regular stop when they need a gift.
We're open from 10 to 5 Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Hi, this is J.R. Medina, and I want to thank KRXA and its listeners for supporting my store, PG Liquors. My son-in-law, Chad, and I truly appreciate the wonderful positive response that we have received to our advertising campaign on this station. We urge other business people in Monterey and Santa Cruz counties who want to increase their business at a reasonable cost to call KRXA's sales manager, Larry Rathall, at 394-5792. KRXA provides the best advertising value that I have found for businesses like mine. Call Larry at 394-KRXA.
And hello, everybody. Let's take a look at traffic here in the Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz area. And CHP telling us about, the problem southbound 17 at the Cats restaurant. We had an earlier problem, and it was a stalled big rig. It looks like everything's off to the shoulder now. And let's see here. Also, CHP was telling us about another problem, and it was northbound 17 just before the Glenwood cutoff. And we had a crash there, but everything's off to the shoulder. In fact, that's in the clearing stages. So that's some good news. Santa Cruz Mountains, Highway 17, right at Laurel Curve. We have large bags of garbage and debris being reported in the right lane, so heads up for that particular problem. Anything else going on here? Gilroy, Highway 25 at Bolsa Road. The railroad crossing, the arm is stuck in the down position, so you can expect delays there.
The Collins Show.
Well, there's a little something that's been freaking me. I read it in the news, I seen it on TV. It haunts me in the night and creeps me in the morning. A spooky little thing called global warming. It seems our indispensable.
That's Dr. Elmo from his Halloween collection. And that's his little ditty about global warming. We continue now with Professor Dan Kamen from the University of California at Berkeley. Lines are open if you'd like to talk with him at 888-5 Peter B. 888-573-8372. So, Dan Kamen, what is going on at the United Nations related to climate change and trying to reduce emissions that the Bush administration is so intent on sidestepping?
Well, there's quite a run-up to the next major international meeting, which will be in Bali in Indonesia in December. And for that meeting, there's been a number of initiatives that have been proposed for the industrialized nations to take the lead on a number of efforts, both reducing emissions at home and then offering real substantial aid to countries that want to partner with them. And I'll, for example, be at a meeting in a couple weeks in Germany where the German government, Chancellor Merkel, is going to announce sort of a challenge grant for countries that will partner with them in installing significant amounts of wind power and solar. And to my mind, what's interesting is that up until now, most of the debate has been about, can we install some renewable energy that'll eat into new growth. But the new wave of thinking is, what can we do so that clean energy systems actually replace current capacity and actually begin to bring down our overall, you know, carbon footprint? And those are things where partnership is needed, and also where the progressive industrialized nations are really looking to partner.
And so, is Kyoto dead, or is Kyoto a framework that the UN and others are trying to build on?
Well, the words are still alive. Everyone still talks about the Kyoto Protocol, and now we're entering the post-Kyoto period. In my view, Kyoto isn't so much dead as it's been trumped by more action. And so while the U.S. never signed and has been remarkably useless in this regard, what's happened in other countries is that they are now doing what California's doing, and that is talking about actual reductions in emissions over the coming decades. And the Kyoto Protocol was really just a pause. It was a, as one friend of mine likes to say, it was a small decrease in the rate of increase. Now we're seeing Japan, the UK, Germany, Denmark, Sweden, Spain, all talking about major cuts. And so the new regime is going to be that much more aggressive. And so, again, sadly for the U.S., by not retooling our industry and becoming real leaders in this, we're leaving it to other countries to sell back to us windmills and solar panels and different technologies, as opposed to not only confronting global warming, but also making money in the process by getting U.S. industries to be the leader. Now, thankfully, some companies are being leaders, but across the economy, we're really not.
Mm-hmm. And so how do you see this evolving, Dan? Because we have negative leadership from the White House. We have a kind of political stalemate on Capitol Hill. Is it going to come from academics like you, or are we going to be shamed into action by the plans of other nations?
Yeah, I don't think it's from the academics. I mean, academics, the direct role, highlighting what the science is, I think is largely a done deal. And academics like me are working on solutions, different technologies, and the science of how to reduce emissions. So all of that's going on. I think actually what's going to come is from the U.S. House and Senate, because while it looks like a stalemate now, I don't think it is one long term. There are really interesting members of the House and Senate, both sides of the aisle, who absolutely are committed to act. And I'm quite convinced that if they felt that there was going to be even mild support from the White House, that they would really take action. So I'm very hopeful, whether there's a Democrat or Republican as the next president, I think that all of the candidates on this issue, not on all issues, but on this issue, are really quite reasonable and are looking for ways to partner and do things. So I think it is going to be U.S. that really becomes the leading nation, but we've just been stuck in neutral now for what it's going to be 8 years by the time we finally end this really destructive period of time.
And I recall reading a news account recently that a group of congresspeople went to Iceland and Greenland during their summer vacation break and came back with a whole different attitude.
Well, yeah, it's impressive to see. When you go to Reykjavik, what you see is a whole nation that is running off of geothermal and hydropower and is getting a lot done. And it's not just that they happen to have lots of high geothermal so they can do a lot. They're also investing in the infrastructure. They're making their grid smarter. They're doing all of these things to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I actually think that they're doing a lot to make things happen. And California is a place that's just got about as much resources as any place else. So it's not that you have to be just wonderfully well endowed with resources to make something happen. You really can do it if you simply want to.
Mm-hmm. And in California, what is your sense of Governor Schwarzenegger's posture? And did the shuffle earlier this year, when one of his top officials refused to water down some of the actions of the Air Resources Board? Is that a misstep on Schwarzenegger's part, or has he kind of regained his footing?
That whole issue with Dr. Robert Sawyer, who's actually a close colleague of mine at Berkeley, is a really complicated case. I actually think it had to do with some people lower down in the Air Resources Board that the governor didn't want to work with more so than Dr. Sawyer himself. And so it was unfortunate the way it was handled. It came across as a little bit heavy-handed. But I think overall, the process has kept moving. And in fact, the new head of the Air Resources Board, Dr. Mary Nichols, is really a remarkable leader who's got incredible skills on all sides of the story. So I think that the Air Resources Board is going to keep moving in a very positive way. And, in fact, right now we're getting into that critical period of time when what's going to be needed isn't just setting up the framework that's gone on for the past year, but what's going to be needed now is making the harder choices, things that will actually begin to cost money. And that's a process where we need everyone involved, the State Assembly, the Senate, the governors of neighboring states, many of whom, like Governor Richardson, are already on board. And so it's not just California, it's the West, but it definitely is someone's going to take some initial risks. And I'm very impressed. The governor has shown, I think, real interest and willingness to do just that.
Well, and his top aide, Mary Nichols, is scheduled to be with us, we think, this Wednesday. We're awaiting confirmation, but keep listening to the program. Oh, it is confirmed. Wednesday, 4 p.m. Pacific time, Mary Nichols will talk about the Governor Schwarzenegger program. Dan Kamen, thank you for joining us today. We'll talk again soon.
It's a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Professor Dan Kamen at UC Berkeley on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Whatever happened to winning? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. U.S. accuses Iran again, the headline says. And it's another story about how Iran is supplying weapons being used against us in Iraq. Plus, you have the protests over the speech by Iran's president at Columbia and more debate over MoveOn.org's General Betrayas ad. You see the trend? Our great nation has been reduced to whining instead of winning. I say that because how is any of this helping us to win? Do we want to win or not? I mean, seriously, both sides. I think both sides would much rather see Iraq turn around, right? Some Democrats thought they could do that by cutting off the money, but they've lost. The money's not being cut off. They couldn't even pass a bill to give the troops more rest. So the military solution remains at bat, and it's time to win this thing. Is the whining about Iran and the whining about a newspaper ad helping us to win? What might help would be for the side that thinks we need more troops to encourage more of their kids to sign up for the Army, the way General Petraeus' son has done. Maybe then, instead of complaining about Iran smuggling in weapons, we'd have enough fresh troops to stop them at the border. Is the smuggling going to stop because protesters at Columbia chant slogans at the president of Iran? Is he going to say, "Stop it! I had no idea your chanting could be so cruel! I will cooperate at once!" No. To teach Ahmadinejad a lesson, you'd have to, I suppose, buy a rhyming ad. Probably impossible in his case. Or, never mind Columbia. Have him speak at the University of Florida.
Don't tase me, bro! Don't tase me!
Yeah. Now this.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and hackers invade your business every day through email, instant messaging, web browsing, and your company's website. With no software to install and no per-user license fees, Barracuda Network firewalls are easy to set up and affordable. Do what 50,000 other companies have done. Reclaim your network with a Barracuda Network firewall. For a free evaluation unit, call Barracuda Networks, 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Eats. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. It's 33 minutes after the hour. Eric Bullard joins us now. He's with Media Matters for America. And this is a slightly different time, but we did that to because we're a liberal, family-friendly kind of program. And Eric needed to pick up his child and avoid that huge fine at daycare, right?
Right.
What is the fine now for?
They just put him on the sidewalk.
Well, we won't want that happening. Eric, thanks for joining us today.
Sure.
Last week was just amazing as we saw kind of phase two of right-wing reaction to the ad by MoveOn.org.
That's right. The most important ad ever purchased in the history of newspapers, apparently.
It seems like it. And, you know, we have this situation where people are dying in Iraq on a daily basis.
Right.
And they suspended the non-collection of information about Iraqi civilians being killed long enough for General Petraeus to claim that it's going down.
Right.
And then we had, I believe, nine Americans died on the very day that the ad appeared and General Petraeus began his testimony, not sworn in. His testimony was not under oath, which is something that has been alleged by his defenders and by those who have attacked Senator Clinton and Move On in the same breath, like Rudy Giuliani. And so it's just amazing to see how, once again, the right-wing attack machinery, as your boss David Brock has detailed it in his book, has swung into gear, starting with Giuliani's campaign, then moving forward to the softball question pitched by the new Jeff Gannon, Dan Salmon, at the presidential news conference last week. And it came at the very end, and when I heard the question and the answer, I immediately recoiled and said, what a setup. What an obvious setup.
Yeah.
And yet our media took it hook, line, and sinker. And in your column, you point out how many times the Move On story got covered in the corporate media last week. Give us those details.
Well, that was just week one, right? That was the week where he actually testified. And then last week we saw sort of more of the repercussions. But as you mentioned, it was September 10th, I believe, Petraeus testified, and that's when the Move On ad ran. And as you mentioned, the Pentagon announced nine Americans were killed in Iraq that day. And according to the cable news channel, CNN, CNN Headline News, Fox and MSNBC, that week they mentioned the dead nine soldiers twice, and they mentioned the Move On ad more than 500 times.
Oh, that's proportionate.
So for the decision makers, the newspaper ad was 250 times more important than nine. I laugh because it's so demented.
Yeah.
Than nine U.S. dead soldiers. And but really, what it was, the press loved the story, and that's where Republicans were able to hit a home run, because this is the press loves to turn the Iraq debate into a debate about politics. It loves to turn the Iraq debate into a debate about tactics and etiquette. It loves to cover Iraq like it's covering a presidential campaign. So the Move On ad and the sort of hysterical rhetoric that was coming from the Republicans was the perfect excuse for the press to turn away from the actual facts on the ground in Iraq and turn it into a beltway game, which they love to do. And when they love to do that, they almost inevitably crown the Republicans winner and announce that the Republicans have once again outsmarted Democrats. I mean, every time there's this, for years, for two or three years now, I mean, every time there's a sort of a wave of debate in Washington, it's about the war. The Republicans have always outsmart the Democrats. But if you look at the polls following General Petraeus' testimony, actually more people now want to leave Iraq immediately than before Petraeus gave his optimistic testimony about Iraq. So, you know, the press announced that the Democrats had gotten slaughtered over this MoveOn.org ad. But the fact is that Republicans continue to lose even more support. And I think once again we'll find that the next election, like in 2006, the American public will probably send a message that right now Republicans in the press refuse to acknowledge, which is that you know, vast majority of the country do not want to have troops in Iraq come next summer.
Eric Bullard is with us from Media Matters for America, and I learned something new when I went to MediaMatters.org today, Eric, that it was Rush Limbaugh who first used the phrase Petraeus, and he linked it to Chuck Hagel.
That's right.
A decorated war veteran Republican senator from Nebraska who is not going to run for re-election. And let's just listen to this clip. It's a throwaway line, so you'll notice it's almost a non sequitur. But here, Rush just can't help himself. And do you know the date of this broadcast?
I think it was months ago. So I want to say it was late last winter, early spring.
Okay. And here is Rush Limbaugh serving up the first insult using the phrase, betray us.
Will that stop you?
It won't stop us. And it would be, I think, detrimental from the standpoint of the troops, as General Petraeus said yesterday. He was asked by Joe Lieberman, among others, in his testimony about this notion that somehow the Senate could vote overwhelmingly for him, send him on his new assignment, and then pass a resolution at the same time and say that we don't agree with the mission you've been given.
Right. By the way, we had a caller call, couldn't stay on the air. Got a new name for Senator Hagel in Nebraska. We got General Petraeus, and we got Senator Betraeus.
Right there.
Yeah.
So I didn't realize that Eli Pariser and the folks at Move On listened to Rush Limbaugh. I never would have heard that remark if you.
Right. Well, it's interesting. You know, the sort of the manufactured outrage about the ad was that it was inconceivable that anyone could question the integrity or make fun of a military man. I mean, I think there's a perfectly legitimate debate to have about the ad, whether it was counterproductive or as I said in my column, sort of necessary truth-telling. But the underwriting rhetoric from the Republican side was basically that you cannot mock, you know, a military man. And yet here is Rush Limbaugh, mocking Senator Hagel, as you mentioned, a decorated Vietnam War veteran.
Yeah.
And what's also interesting is in the Move On ad, people, you know, the press only paid attention to the headline, but it was filled with detail and specifics, paragraph after paragraph of content in that ad, backing up why Move On thought correctly that General Petraeus was going to testify about, you know, was not going to give an honest, independent assessment of the situation in Iraq. They detailed the metrics that the Pentagon was using, the questionable metrics the Pentagon was using for statistics on violence. It detailed how Petraeus wrote a wildly misleading op-ed editorial during the height of the 2004 campaign, saying the Iraqi police were going to, you know, any day now, basically going to be able to rule that country. So the Move On backed up its argument of Petraeus. You could agree with it or not. Rush Limbaugh, you know, slandered Chuck Hagel simply because Chuck Hagel doesn't like the war.
Right.
So Limbaugh doesn't bother to back it up with any sort of, you know, facts or analysis. His truly was just, you know, sort of a name-calling exercise.
Well, and you know, Eric, over the years, I have been occasionally offended by people who think that puns are the highest form of humor. But this really was a pun. It was a play on the name Petraeus, and
right.
There aren't that many things that it rhymes with. It's not quite as tough as orange.
Right.
But, you know, this is such a reach to claim that their language was so deeply offensive that we have to sidetrack any debate about the real issues here and let more Americans die while we get all huffy about a newspaper ad.
Right. I mean, it really was a life raft. And again, that's why people both on the left and the right, who the people who do claim that it was a mistake say, you know, it distracted from the larger conversation. But you know what? We've been having this conversation for 5 years, and honestly, it hasn't been that truthful and that enlightening. I'm not sure what one ad is going to subtract from that conversation. But you're right. I mean, as I said in my column, you know, tactics and etiquette, those are the things that really, you know, excite the Beltway press.
Yeah.
And they loved discussing the tactics of the ad, and they were sort of appalled, you know, by the lack of etiquette.
Well, and on balance, while I do understand that some people found it offensive or hyperbolic, I think it was well within bounds. I think that this is an intractable problem that we're facing.
Right.
We have the administration dug in. We have the Democrats really almost neutered in their efforts to change the policy and have any impact here.
Right.
And so, yes, people do reach for things that might be out of the ordinary or intended to be dramatic or attention-getting.
Right. I mean, if this ad had been published in, you know, September of 2003 or the summer of 2004, you know, I think it would have seemed rather shocking. But, you know, once people lose track of the number of administration officials, and yes, that includes generals, you know, who are just flat-out lying about the situation in Iraq, You know, we're at the 50-month mark at this point. I don't think it's so outrageous that people want to point out that, you know, senior people in the government are not telling the truth about Iraq.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been at this for a long time. And, you know, I think some people finally felt like enough was enough. And I think, you know, 4 years is a long time to be wading through misinformation. And I think, you know, a schoolyard pun certainly is not some sort of verboten attack on the general's character.
And Eric Bollert, one of the things that I first heard from my colleague Tom Hartman, and I have yet to see reported in the corporate media, is that the softball question that Bush, you know, arguably hit a double with, was served up by this guy Bill Salmon.
Right.
And I did a Google search on him. He is described as the senior White House correspondent for the Washington Examiner, and that is a paper funded by a far-right millionaire from Denver. And he's kind of following along the lines of Reverend Moon's Washington Times. And
where Salmon used to work, actually.
He did work at the Times, and then
Washington Times.
Moved over to the X.
Yeah.
Well, at frontpagemag.com, I found this interview with Bill Salmon that was conducted just recently on September 19th, where he is asked to give his reaction to General Petraeus' testimony and the left's reaction to it. And he's quoted as a really, you know, an above-board, unbiased journalist here. The Democrats looked uncomfortable trying to criticize the war without criticizing the respected American general running it. Some were less successful than others at walking this rhetorical tightrope. For instance, Hillary Clinton directly challenged the general's veracity, which gave rival Rudy Giuliani an opening to unload on Hillary. Bottom line, Democrats were deflated. And he goes on a little bit. His final comment is, "Well played, Mr. President. Well played."
Right, right.
Now, this
right.
is an impartial journalist who just wanted to get the president's reaction
right,
to the
MUFON
ad.
Well, I mean, Salmon has written at least one puff biography of Bush. I'm sure he'll churn out another before the meal ticket leaves town. The White House likes Bill Salmon, and it is entirely predictable in what he writes. And so he's just sort of, you know, he's an easy outlet for them.
You are correct. His fifth book, entitled The Evangelical President, will be published this month.
Oh, great. Can't wait.
We're going to take a break and return. We'll talk about the way the House and Senate caved and approved resolutions critical of MoveOn.org's ad. If you have a question or comment, Eric Bollert is with us for another segment. Call me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, here at the Peter B. Collins Show. Joseph's Upholstery of Monterey will satisfy all of your upholstery needs, whether for your home or business.
Joe Vitale finishes headboards, chairs, sofas, and pillows. Joe imports the finest selected fabrics from Italy, Germany, France, and other European countries to add a distinctive touch to your home or office. Joseph's Upholstery is conveniently located at 222 Ramona Avenue in Monterey. They're open Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and on Saturday, 9 to 1. Call Joe at 831-372-3224. Remember, at Joseph's Upholstery, there's one low price for all. And free delivery and pickup is available throughout Monterey and Santa Cruz counties. Call Joe Vitale now at Joseph's Upholstery, 372-3224.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffeehouse in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
And what do you want? How about a little traffic? Let's give that to you. All right. You got it? You're going to get it. All right. Here we go. We got a big problem being reported. It's right here, Santa Cruz Mountains, and it's southbound 17 at Laurel Curve. We have a big problem there. Get ready for this, folks. A truck spilled 2 tons of animal feed. It looked like they said it was some sort of alfalfa pellets in the roadway, so they are calling for a Caltrans sweeper to arrive on scene there. Also want to take a look at Santa Cruz Highway 17 southbound at Paso Tiempo. On the right shoulder, we do have a two-vehicle fender bender being reported there. Also want to look at Ben Lomond or Salinas, southbound 101 at North Main. The on and off ramps goes 24 hours a day.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with Eric Bollert from Media Matters for America. Their website, mediamatters.org, has a lot of great reaction to the overreaction to the MoveOn.org ad. And we know that MoveOn has generated more than $1 million in contributions from people who either like the ad, support the tone of it, or feel a need to fall in and support MoveOn because it's been attacked on such a wide basis. And Eric, I am still floored as I look here at the list of senators who voted for this ridiculous resolution, which was an implicit put down of MoveOn.org. Now, in the Senate resolution, it was rather broadly worded, and it just attacked anybody who would, commit a personal attack on somebody like General Petraeus. The House version was explicit in its denunciation of MoveOn.org.
Right.
But here we have people like Patrick Leahy,
right,
supporting this, and Jim Webb from Virginia, John Tester from Montana, Claire Klobuchar from Minnesota, Amy Klobuchar, I'm sorry. These are freshman members who will not have to face the voters for another 5 years.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So there is no excuse for them to cave in to Republican propaganda and intimidation and vote for this measure.
Yeah, I agree. I've never claimed to be a political strategist, so I'm sure they have people on their staff who help them, or maybe, it's possible that they actually believe they needed to condemn the MoveOn ad and felt that, generally felt that it stepped over some sort of line of civil debate. But it's interesting, there was another amendment, which Senator Boxer offered, which essentially linked the MoveOn ad with the Swift Boat ads. again wanted to condemn them both. I and lots of other people don't see a connection between the two.
Yeah.
One ad was factual and raised doubts about the General Petraeus, and the Swift Boat ads were a complete charade and hoax. But even then, you know, it was interesting. Senator's Boxer resolution got almost no support among Republicans. However, I didn't see a single news account detailing how Republicans last week refused to condemn the Swift Boat ad.
Yeah.
It just wasn't. It wasn't considered newsworthy. The entire focus, the only focus, the only interest among the press was how Democrats were, quote unquote, squirming over the Move On ad.
Well, one of the other things that I'd like to add to this is that the epithets that have been flying describe Move On as a far left organization, describe the New York Times as extremely liberal for running the ad, and there are some questions the Times has admitted. They may have made mistakes in the rate that they charged them and the terms under which it was published, but Move On has responded to that by writing a check for an extra, what, $50,000-$60,000 to make that issue go away. But frankly, those of us on the progressive side of the issues here have been frustrated at times with MoveOn.org and have felt that they're not far enough left.
Yeah.
And so when I hear these kinds of charges being
right.
tossed around, you have to really think carefully and say, well, what's reasonable here? And what is an accurate description of MoveOn.org?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's sort of the polite beltway conversation. Move on is considered, you know, far left, and anything else would be misleading. But as you're right, lots of members don't think Move On have been critical enough of Senator Clinton, for instance, or some of the other main Democratic mainstays.
And I think Matt Bai had a piece in the op-ed section of the Sunday Times, which offered a little context there. Now, Eric, today in the game of dueling full-page political ads, we have the one from Freedom's Watch, and Freedom's Watch still has not told us who their funders are. And this is really amazing because they say that Ahmadinejad should not have been permitted to speak at Columbia University. And at the bottom it says, support Freedom's Watch. Stand up for freedom and those who defend it. And I learned recently, I think from Randy Rhodes, that Freedom's Watch, the name, was lifted from the West Wing. They couldn't even come up with an original name for their group. And apparently there's a Freedom Watch group that's been featured on West Wing, so they just added the apostrophe S.
Oh, funny, funny. Well, yeah, I mean, the whole Columbia University showdown today was, you know, I don't know. I think the news, cable news viewers were surprised to, when they turned on the TV this afternoon and all they heard was a, you know, translator at Columbia University going, you know, translating the speech. I don't know. The whole thing seemed wildly blown out of proportion to me. Now, Representative Duncan Hunter
right.
Wants to strip Columbia University of all its federal funding because, you know, it invited the wrong person on campus.
Oh, great. Now, that's freedom. That's freedom for you. I like that. And by the way, related to the Columbia dispute, we're going to have a representative of the Israel Project who opposed Ahmadinejad's appearance there on the show about 10 minutes from now to kick off our free speech zone today. Let's go to the phones here. William in Santa Cruz, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I was wondering if your guest knows anything about, I believe it's the National Council, which is quite a secretive group that was founded by the Reverend Tim LaHaye, who is the author of the Left Behind series of novels,
mm-hmm.
fictional novels. This is a group that's meant to be very wealthy multimillionaires and billionaires who are ideological right-wingers who meet in order to discuss how they can help implement a right-wing agenda in the United States.
All right, Eric, what do you know?
I don't. I mean, I'm familiar with the Left Behind series and the popularity of those and the message of those books. But no, it's secretive enough that I don't know much about it.
Oh, okay, because I heard that Rumsfeld and Cheney have attended meetings, and they sometimes
right.
intentionally cite their meetings outside of the United States so as not to attract attention.
Well, if nothing, the right wing has shown brilliance or certainly a determination for organizing, and they've got more money than progressives could have dreamed about in terms of creating groups like this, and so it's a long-standing advantage that Republicans and conservatives have had.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if maybe that isn't where some of the missing billions in Iraq have wound up to fund some of these groups, et cetera, et cetera.
Who knows? But they're certainly not shy about writing ginormous checks.
Well, William, next time you're vacationing in the Roanoke Valley of Virginia, that's where Tim LaHaye hangs out. And that's where Falwell and Robertson have their campuses.
Sure.
So that's the vortex you want to dive into.
Ground
all right?
Zero.
Yeah, thank you very much,
thank
William.
Thank you.
And Eric Bollard, thank you for your work. I want to direct people to your column. A lot of great information about the Move On ad and the media's very weak reaction to it. I want to thank you for joining us. We'll talk again soon.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Coming up next, a representative who opposed the Iranian president's invitation to speak at Columbia. And then your phone calls in the Free Speech Zone at 888-5-PETER-B. And you can visit our website at peterbcollins.com. We're in the process of upgrading our podcasts and other activities there. You can get links to our archives and also catch the live stream for days when you're outside the reach of our broadcast signals. We'll take a break here for top of the hour news and then return. We'll talk about the situation at Columbia University and then the rest of the hour devoted to your phone calls. If you want to get on the line now, it's toll free 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. This program is produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Karen Riegel.
We are a peaceful, loving nation. We love all nations.
Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad through a translator speaking at New York's Columbia University this afternoon. CBS News correspondent Jim Taylor has more.
Security was tight.
Step lively.
People voiced their opinions.
Ahmadinejad, the Hitler of Iran.
There were speeches.
Or should have invited Adolf Hitler,
and there were songs.
Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael.
And finally, there was the president of Iran, introduced as an evil, petty dictator by the president of Columbia University, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, making a rambling speech that touched on some of his controversial views. Among other things, he claims Israel is a friend, and there are no homosexuals in Iran. Jim Taylor, CBS News.
I'm Mark Knoller in New York. We're in a speech to the UN tomorrow. President Bush will seek to step up pressure on the military government in Myanmar. He'll announce new financial sanctions against members of the junta ruling the Southeast Asian country, also known as Burma. And he'll also say the U.S. will refuse visas to others associated with the repressive regime.
A military appeals court in Washington says a lower court was wrong to toss out terrorism charges against a Guantanamo Bay detainee. The U.S. Court of Military Commission Review is saying now that the military court set up by the Bush administration was the right way to find out if Omar Khadr, a Canadian citizen, should be tried on terror charges. 73,000 General Motors workers from plants across the country are walking the picket line.
Oh, I don't know. I think it's going to be a long strike. It's bad. It's bad.
Short strike would be nice. Just hopefully the company will come around. They want us to give everything. They're always blaming it on the workers, but these CEOs and all these upper executives making all these big, bonuses and everything. I want to see them lose something before I give up anything else.
The contract between GM and the United Auto Workers expired 11 days ago. The two sides are still talking. They've met every day for the last 21 days. Mike Tyson's in court again. Greg Paul has that.
Mike Tyson had a defeated, subdued look on his face as he entered the courtroom and pleaded guilty to felony drug possession and misdemeanor DUI stemming from a traffic stop late last year outside a Scottsdale, Arizona nightclub. His lawyer, David Chesnoff, says Tyson has been in rehab for the last 8 months.
If there had been more people interested in his personal
well-being and health along the way, we wouldn't be standing here right now.
Tyson faces over 4 years in prison when he is set to be sentenced on November 19th. Greg Paul for CBS News, Phoenix.
Police have got a suspect in the shooting of two students at Delaware State University. The New Jersey man, also a student at Delaware State, was arrested in his dorm room. The question now, according to police, is motive.
It was a verbal confrontation earlier that evening, and that's what we're looking into right now even further.
Campus Police Chief James Overton. On Wall Street, the Dow is down 61 points. This is CBS News.
Attention men. Match.com has too many women. This is not a drill. We created a marketing campaign to attract as many of the most captivating women as possible. Well, it worked. Now we have more on our site than ever in recorded history. The odds are in your favor, and at Match.com, we're willing to bet on them. If you don't find someone special within 6 months, we'll give you 6 months free. So go ahead. It's okay to look. Only at Match.com. See site for details.
What's the most important number in your life? Social Security? Cell phone? It might just be your credit score. Your credit score can affect how much you pay on everything from a home, a car, even credit cards. That's why it's so important to stay on top of your credit at FreeCreditReport.com. The higher your credit score, the better chance you have of saving money. Log on to FreeCreditReport.com and find out how you can get your free credit score and report. FreeCreditReport.com. That's FreeCreditReport.com. Offer applies with enrollment and triple advantage.
A new study says acupuncture should be getting more credit in the world of medicine than it does now. Dan Revive's got that.
The author of the study, a German medical professor, says doctors should suggest acupuncture for chronic lower back pain because it often helps and has hardly any adverse effects. His research in the Archives of Internal Medicine found drugs and exercise therapy helped 27% of patients. Acupuncture did better, 48%, but sham acupuncture, inserting needles at random, not the actual Chinese method, did almost as well. 44% reported relief. Is that a placebo? People go for acupuncture, then think they feel better? Or do needles most anywhere really help? Dan Revive, CBS News.
Tim Brady is the fastest man in Great Britain, and he's doing time for it. The 33-year-old was clocked at 156 miles per hour when cops pulled the Porsche he was driving over. He's been sentenced to 2 weeks in jail. It wasn't Brady's Porsche, by the way. It was his boss's. Karen Riegel, CBS News.
There's nothing small about today's small business. Big hours make up big work weeks. Every meeting is a big meeting. Every call is a big call. When the only printer for all the computers breaks down, it's a big problem. And now, thanks to Aflac, even small business insurance has gone big. Introducing Aflac for Small Business. Now, your small business can have the same great Aflac products and service the big guys get. For more information, call 1-800-99-AFLAC or visit aflacsb.com.
Aflac!
For small business, American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
Do you have a big presentation coming up? Need great-looking documents done right and on time? The Office Depot Design Print and Ship Depot will take care of it. Only at Office Depot will you find Xerox-certified print specialists to make sure your job is done right, guaranteed. Stop by an Office Depot store or visit us online 24/7 to request professionally prepared documents. Xerox-certified print specialists. Only at Office Depot, where we guarantee your documents are done right.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
We're launching the Free Speech Zone here today, where your calls and comments are welcome. Do you know my rules? They're simple. You can call from, well, with any topic, any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. And my voice a little weak today, working through some sinus crud, but I welcome your phone calls here at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And to kick things off in this Free Speech Zone today, we're going to give some First Amendment rights to Laura Kam, a senior advisor for the Israel Project. And from what I can tell from a news release, they were deeply opposed to the decision by Columbia University to invite President Ahmadinejad of Iran to speak there today. Laura, welcome to our program.
Thank you.
thank you, Peter.
And have I properly described the position of the Israel Project?
Not quite.
All right.
Whether Ahmadinejad spoke at Columbia is really not the issue. The issue is using his speech as an opportunity to let Americans understand exactly what the Iranian regime is all about.
Now, why do you call it a regime? It's a government. Regime is a talking point of the Bush administration.
I'm actually not talking for the Bush administration.
No, you used the word regime.
I'm calling it a regime because it is not a free democracy in Iran, and that is why I'm using that term.
Okay, do you refer to the Saudi Arabian government as a regime?
Do you
refer to Pakistan as a regime?
Absolutely.
And Egypt?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I would.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, so, quote-unquote, the regime in Tehran. What is the issue with permitting Mr. Ahmadinejad, who came to New York for the United Nations General Assembly, and, of course, the history is replete with Nikita Khrushchev and Fidel Castro, and just last year, Hugo Chavez. And in my experience, when these people come and speak, Americans get another angle, another perspective on these people. They usually drop their guard in some form or another, as the president of Iran did today when he declared at Columbia University that they don't persecute homosexuals in Iran because they don't have any.
Well, there you go. I think we're in total agreement.
Are we?
I am not saying that Columbia didn't have a right to invite him.
Mm-hmm.
Again, what I'm saying is hearing the president of Iran say that there are no homosexuals in Iran is just a case in point about what this government is all about.
Right, but by protesting and drawing media attention to this, you're giving him a bigger platform. You are puffing him up. The Times today, New York Times, has a great article, a memo from Tehran, where they quote a number of Iranian figures saying that the way the United States has treated Ahmadinejad has enhanced his stature well beyond what he enjoys in his own country.
Well, I agree with you that he is wildly unpopular in his country. But the problem is that, or what this Columbia meeting did, was really give us an opportunity to talk about the fact that Ahmadinejad and the government in Iran, I won't call it a regime if that bothers you, is the largest state sponsor of terror, that they sponsor Hamas and Hezbollah, that they envision a world without the United States and Israel, that they deny the Holocaust, that they defy the world powers in its quest to build nuclear weapons, and that their human rights abuses are absolutely rampant.
And why can't fresh air, freedom of speech, and open dialogue occur? Why can't you let this man speak and try to defend the things that most Americans would consider indefensible?
You're really misquoting what we said. We never said that he shouldn't speak. What the Israel Project did was say, he is speaking. Now, let's talk about what he stands for,
mm-hmm.
and what this government stands for.
Okay.
And we believe that this government stands for things that the American people don't stand for or the free world don't stand for.
And why not just let him speak and ignore him? Because as the Times article points out, you are treating him the way the U.S. has treated Castro. And Castro uses the U.S. opposition to his regime to buttress support domestically. And he's been able to do it for over 40 years now. And we don't want to repeat that misguided policy with Iran, do we?
What our interest is in doing is educating the American people about what the Iranians are all about. We truly believe that they are a danger to us as Americans.
Now, why do you say that? I believe they are a danger in the region, and I do believe that ultimately, despite his denials, that they hope to acquire a nuclear weapon or many nuclear weapons. I don't dispute that for a moment. I think that's their long-term goal. I think they're at least 5 to 7 years from even a crude nuclear weapon, and yet the Bush administration is acting like they are an imminent threat, the same way they did with Saddam Hussein.
Well, I would say that it's very unclear about when they will be ready to actually acquire a nuclear weapon.
What's unclear? What's
well,
unclear, Laura?
You're saying 5 to 7 years. I don't know where you're getting your information from.
From the national intelligence.
Exactly. There are
the CIA reports, the national intelligence estimates. I don't make this stuff up.
I don't believe that you're making this stuff up, but I think that the CIA isn't necessarily always right. I think that there's a clandestine operation going on there. I think we don't know when the point of no return is. I think that if they enrich plutonium, they could, you know, have the makings of a nuclear bomb. And what they can do is export and proliferate nuclear weapons. So that is, they don't need to necessarily have all the means to put a bomb on a missile, but there are things such as suitcase bombs
that
are extremely dangerous. And if this material gets into the hands of terrorists, well, we all know what can happen.
The number one proliferator of nuclear technology and nuclear weapons is Pakistan. And we treat them as an ally. We just sent John Negroponte over there to calm tensions as General Musharraf deported one of his political opponents who had been permitted by the Supreme Court to come back and challenge him in the election that he's called for early October.
Well, you know what?
Now,
the truth of the matter is, though, Paul, there's no other country in the world that is simply calling for the destruction of another country. Pakistan is not doing that. Saudi Arabia is not doing that.
And neither is Iran.
Only
the language,
Iran is calling for the destruction of another country.
It is aspirational. It's part of their overall rhetoric. And when you translate it from Farsi into English, it is that, yes, they want the U.S. and they want the Zionists to disappear. But they don't talk about wiping them off the map. That is a mistranslation.
I don't believe that it's a mistranslation.
Mm-hmm.
Even
if they say that, those are words. Okay? And I agree. You made the point that Tehran supports Hezbollah. True. Hamas? I believe that's true, too. And I think that those are issues that we need to deal with. But that will not change through confrontation and through the threat of military action by the United States. It will only harden their position and harden their domestic support. Don't you see that?
Well, I didn't talk about the military action by the United States. You just did.
Yes, I did.
Right. I didn't mention military action by the United States.
Mm-hmm. Fine. Do you support it? Do you support the threats that the Bush administration has made?
I don't support military action by the United States. I think military action by the United States would be extremely dangerous for America. I think it would be extremely dangerous for Israel. I think it could unleash things that we have no idea where they can go. But
well, there,
I will say that I
there
am
we are in agreement,
extremely
Laura.
Strong supporter of strong sanctions against Iran. I think that the United States doesn't do business with them, but there are pension funds in the United States that invest in companies that invest in Iran. Mm-hmm. I think that that should stop. I think that European countries should stop investing in Iran's oil sector. I think that there's a lot that we can do economically so that we could stave off military action.
Do you believe that the U.S. interests related to Iran are exactly the same as those of Israel?
I think that there is a shared interest not only amongst Israel and the United States, but certainly amongst the major European countries that Iran not acquire nuclear weapons. And let me just say that I also think that that's a view shared by generally most of the Arab world.
Interesting. Okay, I want to take a phone call. Dan's on the line from Blue Lake. Go ahead, Dan. You're on in the free speech zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
I didn't catch the woman's name, but
her name is Laura Kam from the Israel Project, where she is a senior advisor.
Who pays your salary, Laura?
My salary is paid for by people who give us donations.
All right. I mean, who are the people? I mean, what do you represent?
I represent an organization that works on protecting Israel's interest in the media.
Protecting Israel's interest. That's what you think that you really believe Iran's a threat to this country, to America?
I absolutely believe that Iran is a threat to this country, and I believe that Iran is working to
Dan, one at a time. Go ahead, Laura.
Yeah, I think that one of the things that has been proven true is that Iran is working on harming American soldiers in Iraq.
And, Laura, my response to that is that that is heavily overblown.
Yeah, but even if
because the number one weapon in Iraq, the weapon of choice, is the Kalashnikov, and we are not blaming Russia for that. Iran is a regional arms merchant the way the United States is an international arms merchant, and our weapons show up in the hands of people whom we do not support. And so to say that there's a causal link simply because some weapons have shown up there is really an unproven notion. And the other part of that is that the U.S. is arming insurgent groups that we have inserted into Iran, notably the MEK, which we label a terrorist group in Iraq.
You know, Paul...
Peter.
My name's
Peter. Let's get it right.
Oh, Peter, I'm sorry. Sometimes even a broken clock is right twice a day. Or always.
And what does that mean?
Clock is right twice a day.
May I say something?
And it seems to me that you have this worldview that Iran is, you know, just another guy on the block. And
they are not
really
an imminent, Laura, they are not an imminent threat to the United States. Laura, that is a load of crap.
May I say something?
Go ahead, Dan, your turn.
You know what?
Hold on, Dan's turn.
I have to disagree with you.
Laura, it's Dan's turn. You'll get to disagree in a moment.
How Dan. Do you look yourself in the mirror, Laura, and say that nonsense and make yourself believe it? How do you do that? How old a woman are you? Are you just a child or something?
Seriously,
I'm not being kind to anyone. All right, Dan, that's really going too far. Now, Laura, I've got 1 minute here before I have to go to a break. Go ahead and give us your final thought.
My final thought is that people need to be educated on what the Iranian government is. They are the largest state sponsor of terror. They envision a world without the United States and Israel. They deny that the Holocaust happened. And they are defying the world powers in its quest to build nuclear weapons. And they are unbelievable human rights abusers.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate your point of view. Thanks
You're
for joining
welcome.
Us on the program today. Laura Kam, Senior Advisor to the Israel Project. Next, I want to hear your reaction. It's the Free Speech Zone, and your free speech rights are fully protected here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Call me now. I've got two lines open, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Be sure to try the chow fun noodles with broccoli and hot and sour soup. Jim's Restaurant is now celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Join the party. Buy lunch or dinner for four at Jim's Restaurant in Seaside and get a free order of tempura vegetables. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. That's 394-5117. Jim's is top for takeout and great for catering, too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside, 394-5117.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super grain nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Cornucopia Natural Foods Carmel, Carmel Valley Market, and Staff of Life and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Everybody, let's take a look at your traffic as you folks make your way home tonight. And let's start off with some improving news for folks in the Santa Cruz Mountains. What is that? What am I talking about? Well, Santa Cruz Mountains southbound 17 at Laurel Road. We had both lanes were shut down. They're now reopened. They've been closed for a while due to a 2-ton spill of alfalfa pellets in the roadway. And the backup is from at least the Redwood Estates right now. Santa Cruz Mountains, again, minor injury crash northbound 17 before Hebard. And it's a two-car crash, and this on the shoulder, to be more precise. Let's take a look at another problem CHP telling us about. And San Martin, Maple Avenue, Colbert, that's Colombet. Two vehicles collided head-on, both vehicles on the shoulder. Good news, no injuries. Pajaro, San Juan at Salinas Road, crash right shoulder. The support brought to you by Pep Boys. That's traffic with Carrick Sane.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Four minutes after the hour, we're taking your calls. There's one line available if you'd like to call in. Toll free at 888-5, Peter B., 888-573-8372. And lots of reaction coming in about this flap over Ahmadinejad speaking at Columbia University, which still stands. It survived his appearance there. And I got a one-line, two-sentence email from a listener who I happen to know is a Jewish American. And he wrote, Peter, Ahmadinejad didn't attack the U.S. He attacked Bush. That's an interesting distinction. Let's go to line four next. It's Eric in Orangevale. Thanks for calling. You're on the air, Eric. Hi, Eric. Did you make it?
Yeah, I'm here. I didn't get a buzz over.
Okay, great. You're on the air.
Great. Yeah, I was just curious how she feels about how the whole world got to see Israel overreact when its soldiers crossed over in Lebanon's territory, and they bombed the heck out of them. This is a radio station that we're not on satellite, but they just bombed civilians. I mean, they were attacking civilians on top of oil, on top of airfield, on top of shipping.
They also used cluster bombs supplied by the United States of America in violation of the Arms Export Act. And I agree. I feel
I
that Israel overreacted last
Israel,
summer.
It's oh, poor Israel. It's not even a true nation. It was made after World War II.
Well,
it's not even a true nation.
Eric, see, I don't go that far. I accept that
okay.
Israel is a nation today. And
it is today, correct, with the Middle East. We
yeah, if you want to, you know, take a look at the legitimacy of virtually every government and regime, as she would say, in the Middle East, you can find serious problems and cracks. But my issue is that under the Bush administration, the U.S. has tilted to a pro-Israel, all Israel, all the time position. And that's why I asked her if she felt that our national interests, our international policies are fully aligned with Israel's.
And
because
she freeze, because she wanted to say yes.
You're right.
But she froze her because it isn't our problem. I hate to say it, but it isn't. We've given you guys nuclear weapons. We've illegally given them nuclear weapons. We armed the heck out of them take care of yourselves. No one's going to attack them. They got nukes.
Yeah.
No one's
very interesting.
It's the big scare that they have.
Eric, I don't know if you get to watch Bill Maher's show on HBO on Friday nights.
I watch him online. I don't pay for cable. It's all on free. It's all free online.
Okay. Well, check out Friday's show because he interviewed Michael Scheuer. Scheuer's been on this program many times. He served as the head of the Bin Laden desk at the CIA, and then he wrote the book called Imperial Hubris, and then he resigned from the CIA so he could criticize the Bush administration. And his remarks were a little strong and even offended Bill Maher, but he said, you know, that he doesn't care about Israel's interest. He's an American, and his focus, narrowly, and you can criticize it if you will, is on the interests of the United States. Now, I don't think that we should be so isolationist that we only focus on our issues. But I think the only way to find peace in the Middle East is through a balanced approach. And as long as we are seen as Israel's biggest booster, biggest defense supplier, biggest funder, then we really can't deal with the Palestinians or the other groups there, like Syria and the factions in Lebanon, on an honest broker basis. And we've got to come to terms with that because it's, to me, the only way out of this morass.
We got to do something out there. It's not right that America's always involved with Israel because Israel doesn't believe in diplomacy. It's always the gentleman from Iran who's here today.
Ahmadinejad, yeah.
Right. Okay, that's what he's saying, but that's not what his people believe or follow. His citizens don't believe that or follow that. That's like
sticks and stones will hurt my bones, but words will never hurt me. Thank you, Eric. We'll take more of your calls. The switchboard's jammed, but I'm going to open up a line right now at 888-5-PETER-B. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the Secret Garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955. Or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid Carmel Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid Carmel Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmel Shell at Rio Road and Mid Carmel Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquor's knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquor specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We are live in Sacramento for the vacationing Christine Kraft. She'll return to the airwaves on October the 8th. And we're taking your phone calls. There's one line open, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Most people talking about Ahmadinejad's visit to New York for the United Nations General Assembly and the furor, mostly caused by right-wing reaction, to his invitation to speak at Columbia University, where he did so today. And as we mentioned earlier, he, as he often does in his public statements, left people scratching their heads. Some people would say it's downright foolish what he said. He joins Larry Craig in homosexual denial. It's a little different. Ahmadinejad wasn't tapping his toes or enjoying a wide stance. But he says that the charges that they persecute homosexuals in Iran are false because there are no homosexuals in Iran. Now, isn't that a reason to let him speak? To let him, you know, try to explain himself and in doing so, send a clear message to the American public where he's coming from? And likewise, in watching the Scott Pelley interview on 60 Minutes last night, it's frustrating. If I were interviewing Ahmadinejad, even with an interpreter, it would be very frustrating. He doesn't answer the question if he doesn't want to. And he clearly has a lot of stuff that he has rehearsed or thought about very carefully that he lays out, some rather vitriolic attacks on Bush personally and the Bush administration. But they show, unfortunately, like Osama bin Laden, that many of our critics, albeit enemies, are very close monitors of what's going on in this country, and they hear the criticisms of our administration from the left and even from the right. And they're not afraid to pick up on those and make them their own. Now, people may find that very annoying and off-putting, but I think it's more important to let him speak, let him, you know, lead to perceptions of his own weaknesses and intellectual failures, rather than silence him and build him up and demonize him into the next Castro or Hugo Chavez. Tell me what you think. 888-5-PETER-B. That's our toll-free number. And Brian has been holding almost forever. Brian, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good.
Yeah, so that lady, you know, she's pretty extreme herself, I would say. I mean, most people like her, like the real, real pro-Israel, will look at Ahmadinejad and call him a terrorist, and then look at somebody like Rabbi Kahanai and call him a hero, somebody who openly said there's no such thing as a Palestinian village within the Israeli land, which should be for the Jews only, according to their extremism. And you know, it's like they're the pot calling the kettle black.
Well, Brian, depending on your perspective and where you know, arbitrarily decide to start the story, you know, people go back. We had one caller earlier who wanted to go back to 1947 and the partitioning. Okay, and I understand that. It's a reasonable thing to try to build context around how the modern state of Israel developed and, you know, what its rights and liabilities are. And yet, you know, we have to take a look at the present tense. And if you isolate it to, you know, the recent past, just say the last 5 years, you see Israel that has become increasingly hardline. The occupation of Palestine, Gaza, and the other Palestinian lands is one of the ugliest occupations in the world. It is now enhanced by the wall, the barrier, that is going up in many parts of Israel.
Now, that's what, like 30 feet tall, 400 miles long?
Yeah, and last week Israel declared that because rockets are coming from Gaza, certainly a concern that we can all say, yeah, you know, if rockets were coming into my backyard from just over the hill, I would want to do something about that.
But is a direct result of the occupation. It's living in such horrible conditions for your entire life. Myself, I'm 25 years old. I couldn't imagine from the day I was born to the day I live now, and every day I'm going to live from now till who knows how long, living in an occupation from another country's military, and it's horrible conditions they live in, and just the things they have to go through, and then we look at them and call them terrorists when they're fighting for their own land, for their freedom.
And Brian, if your town of Salinas were occupied by people from Santa Cruz, okay, who could control your electricity supply, who could control goods and food and other essential items coming in and out of Salinas, you would use any means available to oppose that.
And I'm not justifying
suicide bombers or terrorist attacks. I am saying that I understand the rationale that leads people to do whatever is available to them to resist, oppose, and try to overthrow occupation. Anything else you want to add?
No.
Okay, Brian. Thanks for the call. Good to hear from you. 888-5 Peter B. Jeff next in Rancho Cordova. Welcome.
Oh, hi, Peter. Wanted to make 2 points. Wish I could have asked that lady if it's true that Israel does have nuclear weapons and they got them by stealing nuclear secrets from the U.S. And why is the U.S., you know, content to let them get away with that? It would seem to me they're... Israel is the greatest threat to the region because they have nuclear weapons. You know, that's
well,
right.
And
that's
Jeff,
why they can refuse to negotiate because they have nuclear weapons.
We have heard proposals from Arab states and from the Persian state of Iran to make the Middle East a nuclear-free zone.
Right.
And Israel, of course, will not agree to that.
Right.
And so we've got not only rank hypocrisy and a double standard, but the United States closes ranks with Israel, says, yeah, you know, we wink and nod, and if they have nuclear weapons, it's okay with us because they're our friend, and they're a democracy, nominally.
I think it is true that they stole nuclear secrets from the U.S. But anyhow, my other point is that Bush has fractured Iraq now and made Iran more powerful.
Yes.
And what we need is a strong man, you know, like Saddam Hussein. Oh, I'm sorry, we killed him. that's really good. That's really funny. If it's not ironic that now the only person that probably can retrieve the situation and control Iran is Saddam Hussein. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, we
that's
killed
really
him, and Bush thinks that Mandela's dead too.
Oh yeah.
All right.
Well, maybe you should think Saddam is alive and ask him to help us. Okay.
All right, Jeff, thank you for your call today. Now to Ben and Salinas. Hello, Ben. Welcome to the program. Ben, are you there? I hear clicks. Ben, going once, going twice. Ben always has great comments, so Ben, give us a call back. Line 4 is Chris in Salinas. Welcome. You're on the air, Chris, on the Peter B. Collins Show. Hello, Chris. That's two in a row. I mean, I hear somebody there. That's interesting. All right, let me scroll down here, and maybe it's Leopold. Are you there, Leopold?
Yes, I am here, my friend.
My apology, Leopold.
Another person with an accent here.
I love it. Huh? Welcome.
Yeah.
How are you, Leopold?
See, you have an international audience now.
Well, I like that. Tell me what's on your mind.
Well, on my mind, number one, I think it's amazing that a university has accepted to have a tyrant or somebody from a government which is, I would say, more as marginal in human rights, to be able to express themselves again in a university, and especially the revisionism of the Jewish
Holocaust. Yeah.
But Leopold, a university professor who was, as a fact, invited when there was that conference not so long ago in Tehran.
Right.
You know, the Holocaust, and in France, the university forbid any talks about that.
And Leopold, again, I believe that it is laughable and just plain silly that Ahmadinejad called that conference.
Okay.
And in hold on, Leopold, I'm going to let you talk, but let me finish my point. Inside Iran, he got no credibility, and there's no indication that this is a virus that he was able to spread to a lot of people in that country. And so, again, by addressing these issues, by trying to demonize him for these ridiculous statements, you give him greater credibility and build up his persona. The best way to go about this is to let him speak and ignore him.
Yeah, well, we let speak Hitler. You know, we let speak Hitler. But I have another point, is your last caller making a big fuss about that wall erected in Israel.
Right.
Okay? I like to remind him, the good American is probably all for that wall you erecting at the border with Mexico, which is only to impeach poor people to come and work in the United States. Well, there it's to impeach people to come and explode themselves in shopping centers. So this is also a point which I think needs to be mentioned. Now, why is America a good friend of Israel?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a real democracy. They built a real democracy. And would the other country being a real democracy, I'm sure we would have no problem talking to them. Mm-hmm. When it comes now to the Palestinian, I'm jump from one thing to another. When I would say that if there is, and I wish, and I am all for it, but if there is one day a Palestinian state, Israel should be the one who should be thanked for it, because if the Jews would have been threw into the ocean like it was planned in 1948, I won't go back too long, today there would be no Palestine. There would be a little chunk of Jordan, there would be a little chunk of Egypt, and there would be a little chunk of something else. And I think the Arab state have made little effort to incorporate, to assimilate the Palestinian. If you go, and I went to the Middle East, in countries like the Emirates, for instance, you know, the poor labor are all Palestinians, okay? So they are used by their own entity. And wouldn't be the conquered territory, not occupied territory, because there was, it's following a war that Israel took these territories. They didn't just went in and took, they were attacked at their holiest day, it was Yom Kippur, and they wanted to do a buffer, and now they're willing to give back to the Palestinians.
Okay, Leopold, I've given you lots of time. I hear your point of view. I disagree with you on some issues, but I do appreciate you calling the program and expressing yourself today. Now to Susan in Soquel, listening on KRXA 540. Hello, Susan.
Hi, Peter. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Good. I moved.
You did. You left Santa Cruz for Soquel.
Right.
Uh-huh.
My old home territory. Leopold said some things I do agree with. But mostly I just wanted to say we're kind of like talking, you know, with a very broad brush. To just condemn Israel and to not realize that their government isn't any more the people of Israel than our government is us. is a grave mistake. There's tremendous, there are numbers and numbers of people there who want reconciliation. And the thing didn't just arrive where it is today. A lot of what Leopold said was really true. The countries surrounding Israel did nothing to try to absorb the Palestinians or help them in any way whatsoever.
Well, there are errors and compounded errors.
Yes, there
and
are,
my biggest issue, Susan, yes. My biggest issue is the posture of the Bush administration,
right.
Which is uncompromising, all Tel Aviv, all the time.
Right.
And we need to show balance. We need to show that we understand that the Palestinians do have issues, the way we have tilted toward the
Absolutely.
Fatah movement, despite its corruption.
Right.
the way we permitted, elections to go forward that brought Hamas into the government.
Mm-hmm.
These are all issues that Bush has culpability for, but he just walks away from it.
Yeah, but so do we. So do we. That's, I think, my point is that we all need, all the citizens need to start taking responsibility, stop putting it on each other, and start taking responsibility to change this. We have culpability in this. I know it's not easy.
Well, Susan, if that's the case, I would snap my fingers and toss Bush and Cheney out of office pronto.
No, there are things I'm sure we can do more of. You.
All right, I'm late for a break. I got to run. Thank you, Susan. More of your calls coming up in a moment. My toll-free number, 888-5-PETER-B.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Welcome to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at noon on KRXA 540 AM. Your Solar Future is about the practical, the passion, and the politics of going solar. Listen to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at high noon. Go to YourSolarFuture.com. See the solar videos sent in by folks like you. Save thousands of dollars. Make money as well. You'll see when you go to YourSolarFuture.com.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow, hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests, and you call in with your questions and ideas, and we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future, and we're doing it five times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters, weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
All right, everybody, time to take a look at the last traffic report of the evening, which is always exciting and just, that's a key word, exciting. Pajaro, San Juan Road at Salinas Road, we have an accident, right shoulder, in fact, two vehicles being reported there. Santa Cruz Mountains, Highway 17 at Laurel Road, we have a crash, well, we had a problem there earlier, let's give you the update on that, and what I can tell you is that it was truck filled with alfalfa pellets, about 2 tons spilled on the roadway. The lanes are both closed. They've been cleared. Traffic starting to recover. Also southbound 17 before Redwood Estates, we have a stalled vehicle partially blocking lanes there, and a CHP getting to the scene there. Also want to mention a San Jose grass fire, North 68 at Alum Rock. The on-ramp is now closed because of this. Support brought to you by Staples. That was easy.
We we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 9 minutes in front of the hour, and you may notice my voice is fading a little bit. I got attacked by some sinus crud over the weekend, and I'm working my way through it. And I'll do everything I can to stay on the air here this week and keep everything going. Wanted to just mention one other item. We talked earlier with Eric Bollert about the media's treatment of the Move On ad and General Petraeus. And, of course, the media, the corporate media, as Eric told us, has repeated that story at least 500 times since the 10th of September. And yet, I have seen precious little coverage of the underlying issues. Number one, that General Petraeus was handpicked by President Bush because he supported the surge. And so it's no mistake that he still supports the surge and would come to Washington and say so. And he is in some sort of deep dispute with his immediate commander, Admiral William Fallon, who is chief of the Central Command. He's the guy who called him an ass-kissing little chicken ship. That's a P, although he didn't use a P. And he said, I hate people like that. And the enmity became public knowledge when the Washington Post reported on September 9 this intense conflict within the administration over Iraq. But instead of airing that out and really giving us coverage about the central issue, the administration and the media just keep attacking MoveOn.org. It's a smokescreen. It's a distraction. And for too many people, it's effective. Dan in Sacramento, you're next on the Peter B. Collins Show. Welcome.
Hi. You were talking about Israel just a little bit ago, and nobody seems to back up far enough when they start talking about the creation of Israel and how it was created. When the Zionists in Germany, okay, during World War One, they went after Germany had the World War One, they went to England, sold out their own country. So in order to bring the United States into the war on their side, Benjamin Friedman, a former Zionist, brought this to the attention of the American people. And, I just whenever history starts, it always seems to start in 1948 or 1945. And that's why Hitler seized the media from the Zionists. He seized the banks from the Zionists. That's why he did that, because they were getting ready to enter into another world war.
Well, Dan, that's revisionism, and I encourage you to watch the PBS series that's underway. It just started last night, called The War by Ken Burns, because I'm sorry, I don't believe your explanation that Hitler had this, neutral motivation to limit the Zionists.
Do you believe that the Zionists went to England and sold out Germany?
I don't know that to be a fact.
Balfour Declaration. Read it. It's in the Balfour Declaration.
Uh-huh. Okay, still, I don't believe that that ameliorates the guilt of Adolf Hitler in any way.
Oh, of course not. Of course not. Of course not, it doesn't. Nothing could. I mean, absolutely not. But I'm just saying that is what made the German people mad at the Jewish people, because they sold out their country during a world war, and they brought about their defeat.
I'm not buying that, Dan.
Balfour Declaration. Look it up. Okay?
I'll go look it up. I have a gap in my history there. I'll acknowledge that. Pardon me. Laird in Eureka, you're next. Go ahead, Laird.
Yeah, I'm listening here, originally when I called, I wanted to confront her with a couple of things that she said. And now as I listen, I realize she really didn't have any wedge points. She really wasn't talking bargaining points or information. She was talking her stick, if you will. And so have most of the people whose calls you've been taking.
Yeah.
None of them have offered any kind of bargaining chips or any kind of future.
No, people tend to rehash their biases.
Yeah.
And what she was doing was a series of talking points that, you know, reflect her organization's point of view. And I wanted people to hear them. I don't agree with most of them.
Exactly.
Although I was pleasantly surprised that her group wasn't actively opposing Ahmadinejad's speech. They simply protested it when it occurred, and that's within their rights. And also, I was surprised when she said that she doesn't support a U.S. military assault on Iran.
See, I'm not even sure I buy that. But
well, she may have been spinning, given that she knows that I'm not a neoconservative who supports her positions.
And in any event, you know, she makes these calls about suitcase bombs, you know, suitcase bombs and aerosol spray cans of anthrax. These are almost fantasies that the press and the fearmongers have fostered on us. I mean, they're not realities at this time. I mean, I'm not ignorant enough to believe that they can't be.
Right.
But, my God, look at all the thing that's going on with Iran trying to develop nuclear power. And we think that a few ragtag men in a hut someplace in Afghanistan are going to come up with a sophisticated weapon. I mean, you know, and we thrive on this. And in the meantime, where we talk about that and we say, oh, it's their fault, they did it first, nobody is willing to say, well, how about if I'm the first to say, let's do this?
Well, and my posture, Laird, is that I don't lecture the Palestinians, and while I'm critical sometimes of the government of Israel, my primary issue has to do with our government and the way that Democrats and Republicans support Israel on a basis that goes too far and undermines the self-interest of the United States.
I agree.
So I got to run on that note because Steve in Salinas gets the final word today. Hello, Steve.
Hi, I've got a real serious concern, and maybe I hope I'm just totally off base. But if we were to go ahead and bomb Iran, which I don't think is totally out of the question, might that create nuclear fallout over the whole region?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the idea that we can use a bunker buster nuke on the Natanz facility and that it wouldn't put our troops at risk in Iraq and other neighboring countries' populations at risk from fallout is just bizarre.
And if there's right wind conditions, couldn't that reach Israel?
It's possible, yeah.
Okay, just some.
Steve, I'm out of time. Thank you for your call. Thanks to everybody who called the program today. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Karen Riegel. Protesters were plentiful at Columbia University in New York, where Iran's president spoke this afternoon.
I'm really ashamed of my alma mater for inviting a person like this.
This was a complete joke, and I actually walked out early. It was completely disgusting and revolting. Because Columbia University allowed him a bully pulpit?
Mahmoud Ahmadinejad said his country means no harm to anyone.
We are a peaceful, loving nation. We love all nations.
And he said his country is eager to be chummy with the United States.
We think that if the U.S. government recognizes the rights of the Iranian people, respects all nations, and extends a hand of friendship with all Iranians, they too will see that Iranians will be one of its best friends.
Ahmadinejad said he felt insulted by the president of Columbia University, who introduced Ahmadinejad by saying he acts like a petty and cruel dictator. A soldier from Idaho accused of planting evidence on an Iraqi he killed says he was ordered to bait his sniper targets with incriminating materials. CBS News correspondent Dave Martin tells us snipers have become an expected part of this war, but this is something different.
Some American snipers have taken it a step further, setting out pieces of bait such as detonating cords or rounds of ammunition and killing Iraqis who pick them up. Gary Solis, who teaches the law of war, calls it illegal.
You can't kill civilians merely because they stopped to pick up something that you've planted there.
Baiting was developed by a little-known Army unit called the Asymmetric Warfare Group, created last year to come up with better equipment and tactics, particularly against roadside bombs. David Martin, CBS News, the Pentagon.
General Motors and the United Auto Workers are done talking for the day, but 73,000 union workers aren't done walking the picket line.
Hey!
Workers like Matt, a 28-year-old GM employee near Detroit.
I do not know how long it's going to be, but we negotiated and extended negotiations, and the time was running, and here we are. So that's all I know.
The contract expired 11 days ago. The strike does ripple for GM. The Teamsters Transportation Union is saying it will not cross state strike lines to deliver General Motors cars and trucks.